Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey. Technically proficient, Dr. Turner specializes in listening to every patient's concerns and feelings. And because Dr. Turner cares about you, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112, 831-375-1112, 815 Cass Street in downtown Monterey. For all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner, 375-1112. He listens, he cares.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Steve Futterman, live at the Criminal Courts Building in Los Angeles.
The defendant shall be returned to the state of Colorado.
Judge Louis Lavin making the announcement today after John Markar waived extradition. The suspect in the murder 10 years ago of JonBenet Ramsey will be heading to Boulder. CBS News legal consultant Andrew Cohen says the risks for Carr are high.
First-degree murder with premeditation in Colorado brings with it the possibility of the death penalty. It doesn't guarantee that that's what prosecutors are going to go for. I think they're holding off on that, hoping that they can somehow draw John Mark Carr out a little bit more and get more information from him.
Authorities have not said when Carr will leave for Colorado. I'm Steve Futterman, live in Los Angeles, now with more CBS News. Here's Harley Carnes.
President Bush's numbers are up in the latest CBS News New York Times poll in the fight against terrorism.
President Bush's approval rating on terrorism, which has always been his strong suit, has risen in this poll to 55% now, up from 51%.
CBS News Deputy Director of Surveys Sarah Dutton says overall, however, the president's approval rating remains low at 36%. Highway deaths were up last year. CBS News correspondent John Hartsey.
There were just over 43,000 highway deaths, up about 1%. The rate of deaths per 100 million vehicles also rose a bit. The main factors? More pedestrian and motorcycle deaths. Motorcycle fatalities increased 13%, with nearly half of the victims not wearing helmets. There was some good news. Fatal wrecks involving young drivers declined 6%, and the number of children 15 and under killed on the highways also was down.
Iran has changed its tune just hours before the time ran out for a response to the UN's demand that it get out of the nuclear business. Now Iran's chief negotiator says, let's talk, and they're offering a new proposal to resolve the crisis.
I'm Mark Noller in Minnetonka, Minnesota. The U.S. government has a copy of Iran's response to the UN, but the White House is not yet ready to comment on it. On Air Force One, spokeswoman Dana Perino said the administration will see what UN diplomats have to say, but she says President Bush remains adamant that Iran must not be allowed to pursue a program to produce nuclear weapons.
He was teaching the kids about freedom of speech, and he was the teacher. Dan Holden has been removed from the classroom, however, at Stewart Middle School outside Louisville, Kentucky, for burning two American flags. His assignment to the students was, think about it, write a paper on it. School spokeswoman Lauren Roberts.
The issue is the possible endangerment of children by having an open flame in the classroom. That is definitely a safety issue.
This after parents, a couple dozen of them, showed up at the principal's office, outraged that flags had been burned at all. On Wall Street, the Dow lost 5 points to close at nearly 11,340. The Nasdaq gained more than 2 points. Oil prices today, $72.63 a barrel, up just 18 cents. This is CBS News.
Where do you want to be?
I'd like a real estate website where I can look at all the listings, not just those of a single company.
I'll know the right house when I see it, but it's frustrating having to go from website to website. I'm wearing out my mouse.
Find your perfect place. It's easy at RE/MAX.com. Now RE/MAX.com has more home listings to choose from than ever. RE/MAX listings and our competitors' listings, too. Nobody sells more real estate than RE/MAX. Each office independently owned and operated.
Hello?
Hello, hey, is this Rodrigo?
Yeah, this is him.
My man, listen, it's Josh, the new owner of your Jetta. You traded it in.
Wait a minute, that red 2004?
Yeah, dude, it's awesome. It's just, when I'm driving around in this car, I feel like we're connected. It's just like we're a family, we should hang out. You and me and the Jetta? Do you have an email?
Feel the pre-love. Certified pre-loved Volkswagens featuring the 112-point inspection. Come take a joyride today.
It will be the undisputed record golf shot for distance.
More than 35 years after Alan Shepard did it on the moon, a cosmonaut will try to hit two golf balls during a spacewalk outside the International Space Station. NASA's Kirk Shireman.
The impart of energy is very light. It's not like Tiger Woods taking a drive. It's much less than that. Plus, as you know, because of the constraints of the suit, it's a one-handed swing.
He says the ball should burn up in the atmosphere in about 3 days. A Canadian company is paying the Russian Space Agency for the stunt. Shireman says it's well within the Russians' rights for experimental and commercial ventures. Peter King, CBS News.
In Beckley, West Virginia, the judge decided not to put Michael Patrick Bradley in jail, provided his alcohol abuse treatment continues. Bradley chased his own pet terrier down, punched the dog in the face, and body slammed the little one to the ground several times. The dog has recovered from his injuries. The man is still trying to find his way out of the fog of alcohol fumes in which he lives. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
We all love champions. We all love winners. And even the best of them can suffer from cold sores. Millions of people suffer from cold sores. And now millions of people use Relieve one-day cold sore symptom treatment. Why do they choose Relieve? Because Relieve is the only treatment that guarantees to relieve the symptoms of cold sores in just a day. So if you suffer from cold sores, get a winning treatment. Get Relieve. It's guaranteed. Relieve is spelled R-E-L-E-E-V. And you can buy Relieve from the shelves of all major drugstores and other fine stores.
No doubt about it, the Internet is a great place to hang out. Like blogging, for example. I love to blog. Maybe too much, when I think of all the hours I blogged. Anyway, you've probably spent a lot of time on the Internet, too. Isn't it time the Internet paid you back? Just 15 minutes at GEICO.com could save you hundreds on car insurance. Now that's what I call payback.
Go to GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
Welcome to another edition of the Peter B. Collins Show. It's live, unscripted, unrehearsed. We just wing it. We've got 3 hours to talk about important issues confronting you and me. And the only place I'd rather be is sailing on San Francisco Bay. But I already did that today, so this is the only place I want to be right now. Coming up in about a half an hour, Dar Jamail returns to our program. He recently returned to the United States. We talked to him here at the end of June, just before he left for Syria and then Lebanon. He's filed a number of dispatches from the war zone, and we will debrief him. Coming up, starting in about a half an hour, he's going to be with us for 45 minutes. Next hour, we're going to get the lowdown on California's senior Senator Feinstein's war profits. They come through her marriage to Richard Blum, a wealthy investor in companies that are benefiting from the increased Pentagon budget and the war in Iraq. We'll detail it for you with Joshua Frank next hour. Also, Jason Leopold's got an update on the Roe investigation. There's an interesting development. Richard Armitage has been named as a possible source to Bob Woodward. And, there's much more breaking. Jason will be with us to talk about it. And he's coming to Northern California for some book signings. We'll tell you about that, too. And Melanie Sloan will join us from Citizen from Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. We'll talk about the latest ethical challenges in the swamp there inside the Beltway. At any moment, you're invited to call the program and join the conversation. We pay for the call, toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And I have received word that all of my email accounts are full. I apologize. The webmaster will be here tomorrow with a roto-rooter. We'll try to get it back into operation. And if something has recently bounced, you have my apologies. Joining us now from the comfort of the Catskills in upstate New York is a writer for The Nation magazine, Ian Williams. Ian, thanks for joining us today on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, Peter. Good to be here.
Nice to talk with you, sir. And I know many people at The Nation. I won't bore you with name dropping, but this is the first time we've spoken. So tell us how you got hooked up with The Nation, what your background is as a journalist.
Well, I think my first piece, prophetically enough, about 15 years ago for The Nation was on one John Bolton.
Oh, my.
That was when nobody else had heard of him, and I exposed a scam whereby he was trying to shake down the UN Development Program for a couple of million for one of his conservative cronies.
Oh, I thought he was trying to just lop off the top 10 floors at the UN headquarters.
Well, he was probably trying to blackmail them.
Wow. So you go back with that guy with the oversized mustache a long, long way.
Yeah, I mean, whenever I see him, I think of the Beatles song, you know, I Am the Walrus. I want to say.
Well, that's a great image. It works for me. Have you followed him? And, do you chat and have drinks?
He's actually just begun, but in general, he just doesn't treat anyone outside the conservative echo chamber as anyone worth talking to.
Uh-huh.
You know, the press parties, he's in the... until recently, I gather he's begun to change, but he invited the Washington Times and the Fox and New York Sun, MSNBC, mm-hmm. you know, the tried and trusted, the Judith Millers of this world.
The stenographers.
Well, they're the worst in stenographers because they're stenographers with a vivid imagination, a lot of them.
Yeah. So before we move on to your commentaries, two very interesting ones that you've recently posted at thenation.com, let's talk about Bolton. Has he learned anything? Has he morphed into a diplomat, in your opinion?
He's always been disciplinable. He's always obeyed orders. He's the type of attack dog that goes back to the kennel when ordered. And it was always interesting to see how James Baker kept him under control when he was the Secretary of State. And it seems that at the moment, when he's rampaging around, pretty much you know that this has got the White House's sanction, and then he goes back in again.
Mm-hmm.
But he's the type of person that makes American diplomacy an oxymoron.
Indeed. And does the guy have a sense of humor or a social side? He seems really kind of obsessive.
He's actually got quite a dry and ironic sense of humor sometimes. You know, it's very sort of pointed and from a conservative angle, but but mostly he has that fixed sort of angry bulldog with hemorrhoids look on his face. And it sort of sticks.
Ian Williams with us. That's a choice phrase. I can't top
I've
that.
I've just invented that one. I'll have to write it down. I'll be seeing that in print soon.
Either that or send it over to Jon Stewart at The Daily Show. I think that could be reprised very effectively there. You posted a piece August 12th called The Semantics of Terror. And in particular, during the Hezbollah-Israeli conflict, we heard the term terror and terrorism tossed around, like a loaf of Wonder Bread. And most of the time, I believe that it is being misused, and intentionally so. For example, Ehud Olmert, about 8 or 10 days into the conflict, said that Israel's aim was to end the threat of terror on its northern border. And I remarked at the time that that's a very interesting kind of a Tom DeLay approach to communications, because I was watching the carnage in Lebanon, and to me, when you're bombing infrastructure, you're bombing, they called it pinpoint, but much of it was much less discriminate than that, and when you look at the casualties of who actually was killed by the Israeli bombing, well, that tends to match the definition, the common definition of terror in my dictionary, Ian.
Well, that was precisely my point, and I mean, this began for me just after September the 11th, when the late and or almost late and certainly not lamented Ariel Sharon began jumping up and down, saying, "We're right behind you on the war on terror. I'm going to go and get Arafat," and I thought, he's not going to get away with that, surely. And for a few months he didn't, but then he did, and ever since then, this definition of anyone that you dislike as a terrorist means that there are no rules. Everything's out the window.
Well, and George W. Bush is...
Also, the point is, it stops people thinking. It means when I'm on one of these right-wing conservative talk shows on mm-hmm. Fox or MSNBC, they want you to say Hezbollah is terrorist. And I'm like, well, no. You know, they sometimes commit terrorist acts, but then in this modern world, almost, who doesn't? And you're trying to stop people thinking by saying by terror or Islamo-fascism or any mm-hmm. of the other fashionable phrases.
Yeah. Did you see the clip? It was up at YouTube for a while, of George Galloway, the ultra-leftist MP in Britain. He was on the Fox, the Sky News channel in Britain.
Oh, yes, it was. I thought it was a wonderful... I must say that I have mixed feelings about George. I have known him for many, many years. We were actually in Beirut together.
Oh, my.
During the Civil War at one point. And let's say that I wouldn't completely deny all of the accusations against him.
Mm-hmm. But that was just a great exchange because he took that.
It was wonderful the way he put it down.
He took that presenter, as they called him in Britain, and took her to pieces.
Yes, and precisely on these questions of semantics.
Right. So our president is such a cunning linguist that he has conflated terrorism with his elective and nonsensical war in Iraq. And he was at it again yesterday in a news conference, and he's modified his lingo a little bit as pressed by reality. He finally, point blank said that Saddam didn't have anything to do with 9/11. But in the process, he wants Americans to believe that if we leave Iraq, that terrorists are going to come and get us. And if we stay in Iraq, somehow we're going to keep them real busy there, and they wouldn't even have the inclination to attack us on these shores.
Well, this once again goes back to that wonderful poll in the September after the invasion of Iraq. 70% of Americans firmly believed that Saddam Hussein had been behind September 11th.
Yeah. Well, and the number actually went down in 2005 and came back up to 50% in July of 2006.
But the other figure, which is very important, is to check the troops in Iraq. And it gets up to about 90% there.
Indeed.
Still.
Yeah.
And, a lot of the stuff in Abu Ghraib can be considered, these guys thought it was payback time.
Mm-hmm.
For September the 11th.
Well, and yesterday we did a difficult segment on the program about rape, military soldiers committing rape in Iraq, not just at Mamadiya, but on many different occasions there have been sexual assaults and repeated degradation of women at Abu Ghraib and other detention centers. There are stories of checkpoints where soldiers were brazen in their approach to women in Iraq. And I feel that this is part of the tone that has been set by the Bush administration, that humiliation is a functional weapon in this current so-called war on terror.
Oh, it clearly is. I mean, the pattern of stuff in Guantanamo and Abu Ghraib, all of the other prisons, the ones that we haven't heard about, the ones in Afghanistan on Diego Garcia. And it's interesting, I mean, if you ever read the lives of the great torturers, but when you study the Amnesty reports, the torture isn't about extracting information, because it's not for the information is not reliable or useful. Somebody who's getting tortured will confess that the moon is made of green cheese. And
yeah, and after you've been at Guantanamo for 4 years, you don't have any fresh information. They can torture you all you want, but the guys who are there now don't have anything new.
No, this is just vindictiveness. This is just to show who's in charge.
Yes, indeed. So, bottom line, how can we reclaim the true meaning of terrorism and terrorists and, try to use it appropriately?
Well, I think the Arabs were very short-sighted when they fought back against that, when they resisted Kofi Annan's definition last year, which was that it's violence against civilians in effect to sort of change a government's mind. And that's the working definition, of course, doesn't include blowing up soldiers or taking Israeli soldiers prisoners, which is one of the reasons why I think that nobody was too upset in some quarters that it didn't get through.
Ian, we got to take a break. We'll return in just a moment and talk further with Ian Williams. He is with The Nation, and you can read the piece we just talked about at thenation.com. More coming up right away here on The Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540.
September 2nd, live in Monterey, it's Stephanie Miller.
If you look at Katrina, it goes more toward the theory that they're just disastrously incompetent.
No.
But then if you look at Iraq, you're like, they're disastrously incompetent and they lied.
One of the fastest rising stars in progressive talk radio, Stephanie Miller, is appearing live Saturday, September 2nd at Monterey's Casa Munras Hotel. Tickets are just $45. Go to MontereyCountyDemocrats.org or call 758-9503. That's 758-9503.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Hello? Hello? What's in the box? Tell me what's in the box.
Rock Rollin' Real Estate. Every Sunday morning at 10, Rock Rollin' Real Estate gives you the best information on first-time homebuyers, 1031 exchanges, investment strategies, exit strategies, and where the next hot real estate markets are. Rock Rollin' Real Estate, where you're buying ahead of the curve. Every Sunday morning at 10.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside. It's Behind the Wheel, the Consumer New Car Review. I'm Peter B. Collins. This week, I've been behind the wheel of the 2006 Volkswagen GTI, which VW dubs the new GTI. The GTI is a two-door hatchback that seats five, though it's not so easy for an adult to get in and out of the back seat. The 2-liter four-cylinder engine is turbocharged and fuel-injected, and with a 6-speed manual transmission, it delivers plenty of power and acceleration without too much torque. It's very responsive with a sports suspension that really holds the road. The base price of $22,000 includes an impressive array of features and accessories, including air conditioning, power steering, and a 6-CD changer that plays MP3s. But the final price creeps up near $30,000 with a navigation system and satellite radio added in. By the numbers, the 2006 VW new GTI gets 25 miles in the city, 31 on the highway, and stickers in California for about $28,000. Behind the wheel, I'm Peter B. Collins. The Peter B. Collins Show rolls on. Sorry, I'm in the presence of a guy with a great British accent, and look what happens. 22 minutes past the hour, Ian Williams is our guest from The Nation, and you can read his work either in the magazine or at thenation.com. And Ian, with your indulgence, I'd like to read the last couple of paragraphs of your article, your commentary on the ceasefire and the process that led to it, and then we'll talk about it. Sure. We should remember not only the resolution that took so long to pass, but those that fell to a threatened American veto, which has, for example, implicitly legitimized bombing UN peacekeepers in Qiam. The fundamentalists in Washington have shown that they have not learned a thing from the murderous fiasco in Iraq. U.S. behavior, from expedited delivery of cluster bombs to an Israeli army, mainstreaming of a fundamentalist militia in one of the new Middle Eastern democracies, alienating even friendly Arab regimes, and making a mockery of international law and the UN itself, puts the Bush administration's war on terror in perspective. Secretary of State Rice's declaration several hundred mangled children ago that it was premature for a ceasefire should come back to haunt the administration each time it tries to rally support for its amoral adventures abroad. And there in the final line, I believe you are referring to what we're all hearing the rumblings of, which is that Iran is a very likely target of American military action and perhaps in the next 6 months.
Well, I've been predicting this for some time, and the same people who thought I was a bit eccentric for predicting that George Bush was going to invade Iraq have been a little less sort of strong in saying, you must be mad. Why would they do that?
Yeah. So what is your sense of any linkage between the U.S. encouragement of Israel to go forward with the attacks on Lebanon? I know there was a provocation, and I'm not denying that. But Israel was prepared to do this for a long time. There were discussions in Washington in April between Bush and Olmert urging Israel to go forward sooner than later, in part, some suspect, to try to reduce the potency of Hezbollah so that an attack on Iran would not produce an immediate and localized attack on Israel from Iran's ally, Hezbollah.
Well, I think there's elements in the Israeli power structure, and especially in the Israeli army, that are feeding, feeding frenzy with the neocons in Washington. And they're the ones who want to see Syria and Iran in the sights. And they've convinced themselves that Hezbollah is a total surrogate for Syria and Iran, not an independent actor that just happens to get support from them. And I think the Israelis were selling it to some of the Americans on the grounds that this was a sort of dry run for Iran, that they could go in there and they could get these bunkers and take out the leadership. And, it was a military fiasco, because it seems, if you read the Israeli press, they were talking about intelligence failures. And, on one level this is true, but I think it's a bit like Iraq. It's the absence of intelligence, not the failure of intelligence, which predicated these moves.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I believe you're correct that the flawed and seriously failed policies in Iraq were tried again here by Israel. And the idea that we can use air power primarily to subdue an opponent and to take out specified targets without having to put boots on the ground was proved false in Lebanon, and to me is even more troubling related to Iran, because we have the fiasco in the desert. When was that? Jimmy Carter's administration, 1979, when we tried
rescue helicopters.
Yeah, our helicopters couldn't survive the sand in the Iranian deserts.
And it comes to this point about the boots on the ground, is that the Iranian regime is not nice. It's not anyone's favorite, but it was elected. It has a fair degree of popular support. The previous Iranian regime, which the U.S. boycotted, was actually making sort of nice sounds. It cooperated to a large extent in Iraq, because if the Iranians tip the wink, then at the moment most of the mayhem in Iraq is being caused by the Sunni, the remnants of the old Ba'athist regime. If the Iranians sort of suggest to the Shia it would be a good time to cut loose, then it would make current present-day Iraq look like a garden party.
Yeah.
Not to mention Afghanistan. The Iranians were cooperating in Afghanistan because they had no time for the Taliban either.
Well, we've already won that war and moved on. Of course, it's not over, and things are far worse in Afghanistan than they were even a year ago. Ian, just a minute remaining. I want to turn to your comments about the U.S. posture toward the United Nations. We started off talking about John Bolton, a subject of your coverage in the past, and it's just astounding to me that the way the U.S. operated, the whole code phrase about a durable peace as a way to buy time for Israel to continue pummeling Lebanon. And you quote Kofi Annan's despair in your piece. So what is the perception of the U.S. and the manner in which we use and abuse the United Nations?
Well, the U.S. is regarded as an absolute hypocrite. If John Bolton says he doesn't believe in international law and doesn't believe in the United Nations, and here he is moving heaven and earth to get international law applied by the United Nations against Iran, even when Iran isn't breaking the international law. And yet he's prepared to veto resolutions about bombing of UN encampments. He's prepared to hold off on a resolution that the rest of the world, with the dubious exception of Tony Blair, was totally behind about the ceasefire in Lebanon. On issue after issue, the U.S. is basically wants its cake and eats it. It's saying that don't do as I do as I say.
Yeah.
And of course, this actually erodes the fabric of international law. You know, which is often more honoured in the breach than the observance, but it's a much better world where countries do not go invading each other and raiding than one where they do. And,
Ian Williams, I'm out of time. Pleasure to talk to you. We'll do it again.
Thanks, Peter.
Dar Jamil next on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
ZNS Auto Sales in Monterey, family-owned for 30 years, is where partnership works. Whether you're a first-time buyer and need a safe economy car, or looking for a truck or SUV or a classic, they have it all. Call ZNS before you make that final decision. ZNS open every day at 1179 Del Monte Boulevard between the Navy Post Graduate School and Lake El Estero. High-quality used cars at the very best prices. ZNS Auto Sales, where partnership works.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Concerned about the steady increase in home mortgage interest rates? Don't panic or overreact. Now is the time to analyze the many available options and to choose the best possible course. Leverage the equity in your home to reduce or eliminate high interest and non-deductible debt. Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage, invites you for a free consultation in his Salinas offices at 201 John Street. To schedule your free Creative Mortgage consultation, call Victor at 757-0436 right now. That's 757-0436.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with its hot vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey and the Old Granary Building, just two blocks from the aquarium. Or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy together are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. Research and common sense show that children learn by playing, and the caring management and staff at Thinker Toys have 37 years of experience helping parents and grandparents choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. So whether you're birthday shopping or simply want to show your love, a gift from Thinker Toys is a way to let someone know you care enough to shop for the very best. With an outstanding selection of Thomas the Tank engines and tracks, puzzles, board games, and children's books, all very reasonably priced, you can't go wrong with a gift from Thinker Toys. So stop by the beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos, or the just renovated Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
The world over, so easy to see. People everywhere just want to be free. Listen, people, listen, that's the way it should be. Deep in the valley, people got to be free.
Yes, even in the Beka Valley, people got to be free. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. And I'm glad you found us, whether it's on AM radio or on those little speakers on your computer. We originate on the left coast, and we are oozing eastward. Now, back at the end of June, Darja Mail stopped by our secret location, the undisclosed location of the Peter B. Collins studio, and blithely informed me that the next week he was heading off to Syria. And I said, oh, Club Med? And that turned out not to be the case. And Dar can pick up the narrative here and tell us where he's been and what he saw. But I know he spent a good deal of time in Lebanon during the 33-day war. And Dar, first and foremost, I'm glad you're back on these shores safely. And thank you for your courage in heading into the war zone.
Thanks a lot, Peter. Good to be with you.
Yeah. So tell us, if you can just give us the travelogue in a minute or two here. I know you were heading to Syria, and your inclination was to go back into Iraq. Is that right?
Well, my inclination was just to go to Syria and then cover the political situation there and perhaps go down to the border with Iraq. But compared to my past reporting, it was going to be a relatively mellow journalism trip. There wasn't any plans for war to be amidst bombs or F-16s or any of this sort of thing. But the day I landed in Damascus was the day that Hezbollah carried out their operation, capturing the two Israeli soldiers. Mm-hmm. And literally within 12 hours, after I landed, the Israeli military began to drop bombs in Lebanon. So my plan radically changed, and about a week after that time, I decided to go on into Beirut and cover the situation there for a couple of weeks.
And did you come down the north-south route from Tripoli, or did you come in on the highway from Damascus?
No, by the time I went in, Israeli warplanes were quite regularly striking vehicles coming in from, on the east-west route from Damascus. So I did go up to the northern border and take the highway down through Tripoli.
Mm-hmm. And why don't you take a couple of minutes here to describe what you saw, and I'm just going to sit back and listen.
Well, coming in at that time was a bit stressful. There weren't many cars on the road at all because, as I said, airstrikes were happening very regularly all over Lebanon already by that time. And so I came down through the border with a taxi, came down into Beirut, went past a few different exploded buildings and Lebanese military outposts, and then did manage to get into Beirut without incident. When I came down into Beirut, there were several international warships in the harbor as they were still ferrying out foreign nationals as concern about the war growing and continuing was very much there. But I did manage to get into a hotel and then start reporting rather quickly, and even that day, the southern suburbs of Beirut were being bombed by warplanes. So very much the attack was quite in progress, we could say, and bombing was up and down the country, and already was worsening by the day.
Mm-hmm. And let's focus on Beirut here for a moment, because I've never been there. I have a sense of a large city right there on the coast, and West Beirut, of course, is where the seashore is. Were the bombing raids conducted by Israel as carefully targeted as they have represented to us and the U.S. media?
Well, it's an interesting play on words, because if they were carefully targeted, as they say, and as media likes to portray, then that means they carefully targeted the over 1,000 civilians that were killed. That means they carefully targeted the ambulances and the hospitals that they bombed, all of these grave breaches of the Geneva Conventions and, of course, violations of international law. On the other hand, if we say, well, these were accidents and these were collateral damage, then the opposite of what they said was true, that rather than these surgical strikes with laser-guided munitions, we had one horribly messed up bombing run after another where, again, civilians were being killed, ambulances targeted in direct hits, hospitals and bridges and roads targeted by direct hits. So I think what's very clear is that it was very much their policy to deliberately target the infrastructure and even civilians and even ambulances and even hospitals.
Well, and even cars that were clearly fleeing from Tyre and further south, Bin Jebail, were, you know, people were flying pillowcases and sheets as a white flag to indicate their the fact that they were not militia. And too often, those vehicles and convoys were targeted for Israeli airstrikes. And in addition, petrol stations, gas stations were often hit, and that appeared to be just kind of some kind of a thrill for the pilots, because you drop a bomb and you know, you see the result, just like a kid with cherry bombs or M-80s. And of course, the bridges that were taken out, some of which were it's a stretch to say they would have been used for resupplying of Hezbollah, and the petroleum facility, I believe near Beirut, which has produced this huge oil spill, and already the UN has had to commit $60 million to try to clean that up.
That's right. And just to back up for a minute, on a very important point you made, which was this very disturbing trend of the Israeli military leafleting villages to get people to leave. And then as people left in cars or minibuses or bigger buses while flying white surrender flags, they were consistently targeted by Israeli military. And these were reports I was getting from refugees and victims in hospitals from my very first days in Beirut, and reports that continued up until the day I left. All of this, all the different people, whether they were in Beirut or Sidon or Tyre or even Qana, all saying the same thing, that they were fleeing, then they were targeted while they were fleeing after being instructed to do so by the Israeli military. And then when Lebanese Red Cross ambulances tried to reach these war victims, they too were targeted. And I heard these stories from several different ambulance drivers, several of whom were injured in these raids themselves. And then I spoke of colleagues who were killed in the same strike. So very, very disturbing trends where it appears not as accidental bombing or collateral damage, but deliberate targeting of civilians and then deliberate targeting of medical rescue workers as they tried to come to the scene. And then, as you said, these very deliberate attacks, like the fuel station that you mentioned is in a small coastal village called Algea, which is about 20 miles south of Beirut, right on the coast. There was an electrical plant there, a very large plant, with six fuel oil storage drums, five of which were exploded and demolished during Israeli air raids, which released oil spill along the line size-wise of the Exxon Valdez spill, where with the prevailing south-to-north currents and winds, literally the entire Lebanese coast north of Gia was basically blanketed in black oil, even as far up as the ancient harbor in Byblos.
We're talking with Dar Jamail, journalist, recently returned from Lebanon. He started off in Syria and diverted into the war zone, and he's giving us his first-person account. If you have a question or comment, join us, 888-5-PETER-B. That's toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Dar, I want to go back to your opening comment, because it really struck me how precise your language was, and I'm not sure you intended it. But you talked about the provoking incident on July the 12th when Hezbollah attacked an Israeli border patrol group. And I have lingering questions about where that event actually took place. You correctly used the term captured, but all too often the American media has used the phrase kidnapped, which is a loaded term which favors Israeli opinion. And in my view, those soldiers were captured, not kidnapped. Your take?
Well, I completely agree, and I did that word to try to be precise, because the bias in the reporting of this entire conflict has been really even beyond what I saw firsthand regarding the Iraq occupation. It's really extremely biased towards Israel. And if we talk about, you know, you don't kidnap a military soldier when that soldier is launching an incursion into your home country. That's capturing of a soldier. A kidnap has to do with a civilian. So you, it's basically impossible to kidnap a soldier of any kind.
Right, and not to get too dictionary on us here, but Israel has kidnapped members of Hamas who serve in the Palestinian parliament. That is not a loaded term. It is a fact. They didn't detain them. They didn't arrest them. They have kidnapped them.
Exactly, along with kidnapping the vast majority of the over 9,000 Lebanese that, as we speak, sit in Israeli dungeons. These people who were kidnapped by Israeli military during the Israeli occupation of southern Lebanon up until 2000 when most of them were forced to withdraw by Hezbollah. The other thing that's important to note is where did this initial operation take place? When initial reports of this Hezbollah raid against the Israeli military and then capturing two of their soldiers, the initial reports were that this did take place in southern Lebanon, not in Israel. And it's very well documented already at this time that even the AP reported that it took place in southern Lebanon. Even people in the Israeli government stated that. And then and within hours of those initial reports, the same journalist who wrote these reports, I'm referencing one for AP specifically, went in and changed the story to be more vague about where that occurred. And then, of course, we've all seen the aftermath of it being very well accepted in Western media that Hezbollah launched this raid into northern Israel, and which is really an absurd thing, because if you look at this raid itself, the tank that of Israel that was destroyed by Hezbollah, which then led to the capturing of the two Israeli soldiers, it was hit by a mine, by an IED. So how feasible is it for Hezbollah to go into northern Israel unscathed, plant an IED, and then wait for a tank to come by and hit it? Which really gives more credibility to the fact that this raid actually took place in southern Lebanon.
Dar, I really thank you for clarifying that, because I've been struggling with that particular question since July the 12th. I did not believe what I consider to be sanitized reports here in the West that this took place on Israeli soil. And there was somebody sent me a link to a website that I could not really determine the credibility of, that appeared to present excerpts from various reports, Agence France Presse, however we should say that, Yahoo France News, some publications in Asia, no American publications, but I believe there was also a Reuters report, all indicating that this actually took place inside Lebanese territory. And it significantly changes the nature of the provocation that Israel cites as its reason for this incredible overreaction.
Well, very much so, and I think we can sort of draw a rough parallel to the lies given as the excuse to invade Iraq, the lies of weapons of mass destruction and the lies of that Saddam Hussein had links to 9/11, lies which even Mr. Bush completely contradicted himself in a press yesterday, saying that no, there absolutely were no weapons of mass destruction, and of course there were no links to 9/11. And it's the same thing. We have to have a pretext if a country is going to invade another country, especially on the level that Israel did to Lebanon. We have to have a pretext, and this one was very much fabricated out of the type of attack. We've had these ongoing skirmishes between Hezbollah and the Israeli military for years. In fact, this Israel withdrew from southern Lebanon in 2000. These have almost been a monthly, sometimes even a weekly occurrence.
Mm-hmm.
So what just occurred, short of course, capturing the two soldiers, is quite a big deal and a provocative act.
Bottom line is
this has been going on for years.
One more question on this point. Why has not Hezbollah or the Lebanese government pushed back to try to clarify what actually happened on July the 12th?
Well, they have, and it is well documented, both Hezbollah and members of the Lebanese government, including the Prime Minister of Lebanon, have issued statements being very clear that they believe that there is not conclusive evidence that this raid did take place in Israel in any way, that in fact it did take place in Lebanon, but their statements have, of course, not been given the media attention in Western corporate media.
Yes, they haven't washed on these shores. Dar, we're going to continue in just a moment. Dar Jamail is with us, just back from the
war zone in Lebanon. And we'll go to the phones if you'd like to talk with him. Lines open for you, toll free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Have you thought about owning more real estate but don't know where to turn? Are you interested in learning how to make good profit buying and selling real estate? Or do you want to learn how to let your tenants pay the mortgage while you enjoy the equity? If you want to learn the ins and outs of real estate investing, listen to The Real Estate Guys, Sunday nights at 5 on KRXA. You can own more real estate. The Real Estate Guys will show you how. Listen Sunday nights at 5 and on the web at realestateguysradio.com.
You got cooking. How's about cooking something up with me?
I'll tell you what I got cooking. Dinner's ready. I went to dinnersready.com, chose 8 gourmet dinners, made an appointment, and went to their storefront in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove and prepared the meals there myself. Now I'm cooking them in my own home.
What's that you say? Dinner's ready?
That's right. Dinner's ready. It's the newest concept in home cooking. They do all the shopping and chopping, and I get all the credit. If you're too busy to go in and make your dinners, they'll even do it for you. So sign up at dinnersready.com, stop by and see them in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove, or give them a call at 645-9100. That's 645-9100. Dinner's ready.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Tom Hartman.
The Bushies just don't get it. They think that the only way that you can get somebody to think the way that they think or the way that we think, the only way you can get someone to like America is to kill somebody. I mean, that's George Bush's strategy. If things aren't going well, kill somebody. Yeah, and if you can't kill them, then build a fence.
It's the Tom Hartman Program.
I'm sorry, the world isn't that way. And, in fact, you want to see where the Republicans want to take us? Just look at where we were in 1890. Look at where, you know, look at Victorian England.
Tom Hartman. Weekday mornings, 10 to noon on KRXA 540.
Let's do it.
And the Peter B. Collins Show rolls on. It's 9 minutes before the hour. We're talking with journalist Dar Jamail, just back from Lebanon and Syria. And he's with us for two more segments. We don't usually hold people over the top of the hour, but I feel Dar has so much to tell us that we arranged it that way, and I'm grateful to Dar for the time he's given us. You can read his dispatches at his website, and you have to know how to spell his name. D-A-H-R, Dar Jamail, J-A-M-A-I-L. It's Dar Jamail, Iraq. .com. And that's where you can read his dispatches, their photographs, and also a blog that he works on a regular basis. Dar, I wanted to turn next to a figure, an individual, who used the pseudonym Ahmed, who you wrote about in at least one of your dispatches from Lebanon. And give us an idea of what he has been through and why he has been radicalized to the point where being aligned with Hezbollah, being one of their militia members, comes almost naturally to him.
Yes, I wrote this piece after meeting and talking and interviewing a man that we agreed that I would call Ahmed to protect his identity, because he is a member of Hezbollah and is very outspoken and clear about the fact that he does fight for them and will continue to fight for them in the future. And I wrote this because I think it's important that people in the West understand why people in that portion of the world become radicalized and even willing to turn themselves into suicide bombers if necessary. And it's because if we look at Ahmed's life, he grew up in poverty in South Beirut. He is Lebanese. He like his parents, grandparents, great-grandparents are all from southern Lebanon. But during the previous Israeli occupation of southern Lebanon, he was detained when he was 11 years old with his younger brother by Israeli soldiers and held for 2 years in an Israeli prison. He would not tell me what happened to him there when I did ask him to describe it. He did go on to talk about other things happening to him and his family as a result of the Israeli occupation of Lebanon, that he himself had been shot three different times, and he had has had family members killed by the Israelis, and basically was reduced to a point where enter Sheikh Hassan Nasrallah, the leader of Hezbollah, who then gave him something to stand for, something to fight for. Hezbollah then coming up as a movement to provide things like basic infrastructure to people in southern Lebanon, things that the government of Lebanon was unable to do itself. And basically, as he told me, he gave us something to stand for. He gave us back our dignity, and that's why I'm with Hezbollah now.
Mm-hmm. And how widespread is that sentiment?
It's very widespread. In fact, this is why Hezbollah has the popularity that it did in southern Lebanon and does now more than ever, that even people in Lebanon, about 2 weeks into the conflict, there was a poll done in Beirut, found 87% of all Lebanese supported Hezbollah. This means the vast majority of the Christian population there, the Druze and the Sunnis, which are groups that previously, before this Israeli invasion of Lebanon, were very much opposed to Hezbollah, radically shifted and then very much supported them. So it's a very widespread sentiment, especially widespread across all the countries in the Middle East.
Israel's aim was to punish Lebanon in a way that would make the average Lebanese citizen blame Hezbollah for the carnage. That seems just preposterous, you know, from here. How did that play out on the ground in Beirut and other communities?
Well, it had the exact opposite effect, and it is a lunatic policy, but keeping in mind, this was the neocon strategy going into Iraq. The Shock and Awe campaign was designed to both turn the civilian population against anyone who resists the invaders, as well as really strike a major blow to any resistance that might crop up to try to stand against the invasion. It was the same policy employed in Lebanon with the same effects, where now, as I just said, with recent polls, the vast majority of the Lebanese now support Hezbollah. And keep in mind, too, it's important that people put this in the back of their mind, file it for future reference, that this is the same neocon rhetoric that's being devised against Iran. They're saying things that, like, when the bombs start falling on Tehran, the people will rise up and overthrow the mullahs. And really the opposite effect will occur, that when a country is invaded, people will take up arms against whoever is doing the invading.
Duh. I mean, that seems like something that might have been covered in a weighty book like My Pet Goat.
It very much is. It's basic common sense that, you know, if anyone here in this country, as much as we might oppose the Bush regime, if we're invaded by, let's say, for example, North Korea, just to make something up, then, and we see these atrocities occurring on our own soil, odds are we're not going to be fighting to defend Bush. We're going to be fighting to defend ourselves and our neighbors.
So as it stands now, what are the prospects that this ceasefire will hold France has declined to contribute peacekeepers in the numbers and strength that they had indicated. Italy seems now to willing to step in to some extent. But it appears to me it's going to be quite a while. And to expect the Lebanese army to be able to neutralize Hezbollah, much less disarm Hezbollah, given the fact that we just pummeled the infrastructure of the country, which is going to set back the whole government by light years, isn't that really far-fetched to expect that the Senora government can, in some way, at least restrain Hezbollah?
It is a farce, and it's something that it's one of those ridiculous demands that Israel put on the Lebanese government at the very start of the hostilities, saying that the Lebanese government should disarm Hezbollah, they should pressure them away from the south, and then force them to turn over the Israeli soldiers that were taken captive. And all of these things are really pipe dreams for the Lebanese government. There's no way they have any power over Hezbollah. In fact, this is why Hezbollah form to begin with, because the Lebanese government is so powerless over much of the country and has so little funding and any international backing that Hezbollah stepped in and filled that vacuum, and that's why they've become as popular as they are today. So these are completely ridiculous demands. And then the other thing we need to be very clear about is this UN brokered ceasefire has already failed. It's already failed several times as the Israeli military has conducted a commando operation over in the Bekaa and then just yesterday fired shots in southern Lebanon. So it's already been broken twice by the Israelis, and I fully expect that trend to continue.
Dar, stay with us. Right after the news, we'll talk further, and I want to see what linkages you see between the 33-day skirmish in Lebanon and our warlike intentions toward Iran. Dar Jamail will return after the news, and if you'd like to talk with him, grab a line at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
A hearing in L.A. and John Carr is Boulder bound.
He is remanded into custody without bail, and the defendant shall be returned to the state of Colorado.
John McCain on the war in Iraq.
One of the biggest mistakes we made was underestimating the size of the task and the sacrifice that would be required.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Bill Whitney. The man charged with murdering JonBenet Ramsey was brought before a judge in Los Angeles today.
As expected, John Mark Carr waived extradition, clearing the way for him to be sent to Colorado.
You understand that by signing this form, you're agreeing that you could be extradited to Colorado?
Yes, Your Honor.
Carr heard the judge read the charges against him.
One count of first-degree felony murder, one count of first-degree kidnapping.
Carr appeared calm and relaxed. Outside the courthouse, Jamie Harmon, an attorney who met with Carr, cautioned people not to judge him.
He's a very intelligent man, that he is a different sort of person than most of us walking around on the face of the planet.
It's not known yet when Carr will return to Colorado. Steve Futterman, CBS News, at the Criminal Courts Building in Los Angeles.
I'm Lee Frank in Boulder, Colorado. Don't expect Carr to be flying business class, drinking champagne, beer, and wine this time. No details about his move from California to Colorado are being released by the Boulder County Sheriff, who says he's being hounded. He does say the entire process is to be secure and out of public view, and that Carr will not be paraded. paraded past media cameras.
CBS News legal analyst Andrew Cohen notes the specific charges against Carr were revealed in court today. They include kidnapping, sexual assault, and first-degree murder.
These are the charges in the arrest warrant, presumably, and they will form the basis of the case against Carr going forward. No surprise hearing them read out loud, since they do match what is known publicly about what happened that night to JonBenet Ramsey. And now, I suppose, folks will be wondering whether this will end up as a capital case.
Now this.
Hello, would you like to be more successful with the opposite sex? I'm Ted Baker, and my program can teach you how to attract a mate. Listen to this.
Ted told me about logging on to freecreditreport.com. I learned that my good credit could help me buy a car and a boat, and now chicks dig me.
My patented system could work for you, too. Log on to freecreditreport.com to get your free credit score and report. A nice condo could make you irresistible.
Get your free credit score and report with enrollment in Triple Advantage at freecreditreport.com. Get the score.
Hey, let's go to my house for an Ovaltine milkshake.
I love chocolate Ovaltine shakes. Let's go!
Isn't it snack time for the kids?
Let's make them Ovaltine milkshakes.
I'll get out the ice cream and milk.
And I'll get the rich chocolate Ovaltine.
Hey, this is Mama's making Ovaltine shake.
Yes, I love her Ovaltine shake.
Yeah!
Now I'll add the rich chocolate Ovaltine.
And I'll get the glasses.
Mom, we're home!
Who wants an Ovaltine shake?
I do!
I guess we better make more.
More Ovaltine shakes, please.
Republican Senator John McCain still supports the war in Iraq, but speaking today in Columbus, Ohio, he accused the Bush administration of misleading the public.
It grieves me so much that we have not told the American people how tough and difficult this task would be.
McCain specifically mentioned the mission accomplished banner displayed during a speech by President Bush in May 2003 and Vice President Cheney's statement last year that the Iraqi insurgency was in its final throes.
It has contributed enormously to the frustration that Americans feel today, because they were led to believe that this would be some kind of a day at the beach.
For the first time since the start of the war, the Marines will be using involuntary recalls to fill the ranks in Iraq and Afghanistan. As many as 2,500 Marines in the individual ready reserve will be recalled to active duty at any one time. In Iran, state television broadcast news of the government's response to the West, which 3 months ago offered a package of incentives for the Iranians to renounce nuclear weapons. At the UN, U.S. Ambassador John Bolton says the counterproposal will be studied carefully.
We will see whether they are now prepared to abide by their obligations under the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty convince the world that their intentions are, as they say they are, peaceful.
Iran has not met a key demand from the Bush administration that it stop enriching uranium. Cars have never been safer, but traffic deaths reached a 15-year high last year, 43,443. Ray Tyson of the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration says the number of people killed in cars actually went down, but motorcycle deaths rose sharply as bike sales increased.
We're also seeing the aftermath of a number of large states repealing helmet laws, and whenever that happens, you are going to see an increase in fatalities.
Pedestrian deaths are also up. Tyson says they don't know exactly why. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
The following is an OnStar conversation.
OnStar Sarah, this is Octavia.
Hi, I just accidentally locked the door and my kids are inside the car.
Okay, ma'am, are your kids in immediate danger?
Well, I mean, it's hot outside. I need to get in there right now.
All right, do you remember your four-digit OnStar PIN number?
592.
OnStar can send a signal to unlock your doors in most cases.
Well, how old are your children?
They're only one and a half, twins.
And they're in the car seat?
Yep.
The peace of mind OnStar offers is more affordable than you might think.
How long have they been in the vehicle?
I just closed the door.
Okay, now how hot is it?
It's pretty hot. It's probably 80 degrees.
I'm sending a signal. Oh, it just unlocked.
Oh, thank you. This is the first time I've ever used OnStar, and I'm telling you, it's worth every penny.
Give the kids a hug and a kiss for me.
I will. Big one.
The first year of OnStar service is included on new OnStar-equipped GM vehicles, and unlimited use of all safety and security services costs only $16.95 plus tax per month after that. To experience OnStar, press your blue button or visit OnStar.com. OnStar by GM.
Charter schools was supposed to be an improvement.
And the Peter B. Collins Show continues. Take a listen to this tune. Circa 1989. Prophetic words from Matt Johnson and a British pop band called The. It's called Armageddon Days Are Here Again.
Across the blue to red sky, moon in from the east towards the west, with balaclava helmets over the east. Yes. If you think that Jesus Christ is coming, honey, you got another thing coming. If he ever finds out who's hijacked his name, he'll cut out his heart and turn in his grave.
Yes, they're singing Islam is rising, the Christians mobilizing. Very interesting stuff. We continue now with Dar Jamail, the journalist just returned from Lebanon and Syria. And Dar, we got a caller on the line. It's Ruth from Carmel Valley. Ruth, welcome. You're on the air.
Yes, hi. First of all, Peter, I want to commend you for having this very brave soul on your station. I think he is to be commended.
But well, the only courage it required on our part was to call him up. He's the one who made the trip there, and it's not his first to war zones in the Middle East.
Well, I think, though, that you're brave in the sense that I think everything is so controlled by our media that you're probably one of the few voices that will let someone speak freely about what really is going on. And that's my question, is what can we do to get the word out? I mean, I'm a longtime Democrat, and to be honest with you, I'm dumping them as quickly as I can. Where do I go? What do we do?
Dar?
Well, first of all, thank you very much for your warm comments, and I think that's the question of the day, and I really, it's a difficult question. I usually don't enjoy being asked that when I give presentations about the things that I've seen happening in the Middle East, but I think it's imperative that people know that if there's any doubt that whether this is the time to start getting involved politically and doing political activism and doing our best to inform people, that this is indeed that time. We're at a very critical time where the entire Middle East is on fire right now, and to think that this administration isn't irrational enough to go on and launch an attack on Iran, everyone should think again. And short of massive political action and mobilization here, that seems to be what will happen within the next 2 years. So I really encourage people to try to get information out to people, write letters to the editor, pressure your local newspapers, radio, and television to correct their reporting, pay more attention to what you feel is important, as well as then supporting things like this show and other independent journalism outlets, because this is really all that's left now for people to get true information, and we need that kind of support. Peter needs this support, and really try to turn more people on to this show, whether it's listening in your local community or giving the website address so people can listen online.
Okay, I appreciate that, Dar. Anything else, Ruth?
No, just thank you again, and I think that we just need to keep trying to get the truth out. I'm so frightened. I don't know what to say at this point.
Well, I appreciate that, and keep listening. Thanks for the call, Ruth. Okay. And Dar, that takes me kind of in the direction where I wanted to go here in this last segment that we have, and that is that yesterday we had James Bamford on the program, and he wrote a powerful piece in Rolling Stone last month, which connects the AIPAC acquisition of purloined documents from Larry Franklin at the Pentagon to the Bush administration's desire to launch some sort of military action against Iran. And to Ruth's point, I think there are a lot of people who think now, okay, Afghanistan, Iraq, and this dust-up in Lebanon, that's all the war we can have for now. But as you point out, the Middle East is on fire, and Bush is ready to put out that fire with some high-octane gasoline.
Yes, exactly. And again, the mistake that we all make, myself for sure, and so many of my colleagues who are writing about what's going on, is to apply logic to this administration. And the reality is that we can't use logic. If we had used logic, they never would have gone into Iraq to begin with. They would have listened to the analysts who were warning of the possibility of civil war, warning of it inflaming the Middle East as it has. Again, we can't use logic with these people. They're clearly not operating in reality. They're clearly just operating out of their own crazy ideology and on their own agendas.
Mm-hmm. And what were the fears among people in Lebanon as they saw Israel, and they obviously link the U.S. Massive support for Israel and often think of us as a single unit. And what are their guesses about the actual aims of the United States, particularly toward Iran?
Well, really, regarding Iran, I mean, people, especially in the Middle East, are really clear right now that the U.S. is engaged in a big war of propaganda, doing the same thing now that they did prior to Iraq, and applying the same strategy to Iran, and are very, very concerned about that, and really quite clear that they feel that this will most likely happen. Of course, there are some that think, no, that would be crazy. They're so bogged down in Iraq and Afghanistan right now, two situations which continue to worsen by the day, if not the hour, and that it would be crazy for them to go into Iran. But again, that's you trying to use logic, applying logic to a completely illogical, really crazy administration. So most people in the Middle East are very clear that this is what's going to happen.
Well, and we try to apply our sense of rational thinking to these issues, but we're dealing with radical power mongers who really don't give a whit about us and our future. They have a vision and a scheme, and, you know, to compare the two Bushes, Daddy Bush had this problem. He said he didn't have the vision thing. Well, Bush has a vision, but it's concocted from a lot of neocon wishful thinking and idealism, if that's an accurate term for the way they think. And it just is so disconnected from reality, yet he insists that he's going to, you know, stay in Iraq until it's we're going to be there as long as he's president. And from what we can read from Seymour Hersh and many other sources, we are dead set to go forward with a military strike against Iran of significant proportions. And once again, we get into this irrational zone where they don't even acknowledge the potential blowback that such an attack could cost.
Right, and it's very important to look at this. And I actually just conducted an interview with a former CIA analyst of 27 years, Ray McGovern, just the other week up in Seattle at the Veterans for Peace Convention, and he talks very clearly of what are some of the immediate ramifications going to be if the U.S. does strike Iran. Immediately, supply lines in Iraq are going to be cut in the south, which is the primary supply line from Kuwait to Baghdad. The 140,000 U.S. troops that are there now are going to put immediately in harm's way as far as not just fighting a minority Sunni resistance movement, but a majority Shia resistance that will immediately begin attacking U.S. troops there, cutting all their supply lines, attacking all the bases. And then if we look at what Iran will do on the oil infrastructure in the Gulf region, they can immediately attack all of the oil infrastructure there. Most of it is completely unguarded. And we're going to be looking at gasoline here going up to around $10 a gallon, if not more, almost overnight. So what does that mean when most of our food is transported an average of 3,000 miles? What is the cost going to be of that, of basic goods? And then when it costs people about $150 just to fill up their car, what's that going to do to our economy? It's going to basically shut it down.
Dart, your interview with Ray McGovern is posted at truthout.org. I've seen it, haven't had a chance to read it yet, but he's a very fine American who appears on our program regularly, and I'm looking forward to reading that, and I want to encourage listeners to go to truthout.org and find that for yourselves. Dave joins us from Humboldt. Dave, we just got a minute. Go ahead.
Well, Dara, if we can say it was a terrible mistake, our involvement in the Middle East, but if their purpose is, from the get-go, to profit immensely for that little cartel, then they're being there with no regard for the harm that they're doing, then that makes some kind of a crazy sense. if that's
no, it
different.
Does. Actually, no, that's a very important point, because if we look at the people who support this administration, and really for the people who are pulling some of their largest strings, like look at Exxon, look at their profits, for example, they're more than happy to see oil go up $10 a gallon here. So, yeah, the people that the Bechtels, the Halliburtons, the Exxons, those elite few are living large, we could say.
Yeah. Dar Jamil, thank you for joining us today. Again, I'm glad you're back and back safe, and I look forward to talking to you again real soon.
Well, thanks again, Peter. My pleasure.
And visit Dar's website, D-A-H-R, Dar Jamil, J-A-M-A-I-L, darjamiliraq.com, and you can find out more. 16 minutes past the hour, this is the Peter B. Collins Show. Coming up next, we'll talk about how the war in Iraq and our increased military spending has benefited California Senator Dianne Feinstein. That's next, right here. KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Saturday, September 2nd, live in Monterey, it's Stephanie Miller.
If you look at Katrina, it goes more toward the theory that they're just disastrously incompetent.
Awesome.
But then if you look at Iraq, you're like, they're disastrously incompetent and they lie.
One of the fastest rising stars in progressive talk radio, Stephanie Miller, is appearing live Saturday, September 2nd at Monterey's Casa Munras Hotel. Tickets are just $45. Go to MontereyCountyDemocrats.org or call 758-9503. That's 758-9503.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Parents, do you need cash for college? This year, more than $100 billion is available for financial aid. Let AboutCollegeFunding.com help you navigate the complicated process to accessing your share of these funds. AboutCollegeFunding.com is now offering free one-hour consultations for parents in need of answers. To schedule your free one-hour consultation with RJ Moyet, call 1-888-337-9775. That's 1-888-337-9775.
Remember, the early bird gets the cash.
Let's take a look at your drive. I'm happy to say those stalls are accidents as of yet. There might be some later on, but right now we're looking good. You can't escape the normal slowdowns, though. Southbound along Highway 17 starting to jam a little bit from Highway 85 to the Lexington Reservoir. However, it is a good drive between the Summit and Santa Cruz as you make your way towards Highway 1. Speaking of which, north and southbound Highway 1 getting a little more crowded between Ocean Street and Santa Cruz and 41st Avenue in Capitola. And we're also looking at slow traffic starting to build southbound 101 as you leave Silicon Valley. It's heavy from Highway 85 to Coyote Creek Gulf Drive. This look at traffic is brought to you by Santa Clara County Traffic Safe Community Network. What is the cost of running a red light in Santa Clara County? An expensive ticket, car repairs, increased insurance rate, and possibly loss of life. On red, stop on the red and imagine what you will save. I'm Alex Daly with traffic on KRXA 540.
Got the Peter B. Collins Show in your ear. Or maybe it's just on the speakers on your dashboard. However you do it, I'm glad you're listening. 21 minutes after the hour. Have you ever asked yourself about Dianne Feinstein, the senior senator from California, who votes too often with the Republicans in the Senate? Have you ever asked what her husband does? And if, in fact, the Feinstein family is benefiting from the huge increases in defense spending and the budget-busting war in Iraq? Some people got to have it. Yeah, yeah. Some people really need it. Listen to me, y'all. Do things, do things, do things, bad things with it. Well, you are not. Do things, do things, do things. Joining us for this segment is Joshua Frank. He is a journalist, a blogger, and an author. He wrote the book Left Out, How Liberals Helped Re-Elect George W. Bush, and he blogs at brickburner.org. Joshua Frank, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show today.
Thanks for having me.
Tell me what you discovered about Richard Blum. Like his wife, Dianne Feinstein, he is a complicated figure. He, on the one hand, is a big supporter of Tibet and its freedom quest and the Dalai Lama. And on the other hand, he is knee-deep in investments in munitions and military contractor companies here in the United States.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's interesting to see that capitalism and Buddhism have a lot in common, apparently. Yeah, he doesn't see any contradictions in investing in what I would call war profiteering in Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
He has a large stake in several companies that are benefiting, making millions of dollars, in fact, much like Halliburton, and then the connections Dick Cheney has to Halliburton, actually. And in fact, I think that Blum's connections to his companies are a lot more direct than Halliburton's and Cheney's.
Oh, that's interesting. Now, he manages his holdings through Blum Capital, and Blum Capital has invested. Let's first up talk about Perini, which is a large international construction company.
Right, and they do a lot of civil infrastructure building in Iraq, like prisons, public buildings, some hospitals, and they've gotten huge contracts through the military with the war in Iraq.
Mm-hmm. And any indication that Senator Feinstein has failed to recuse herself from key votes that would have benefited her husband, Richard Blum?
Oh, certainly. It's interesting. You know, his spokesperson, Owen Blicksilver, claims that Senator Feinstein and her husband never talk, you know, shop inside their gated mansion in San Francisco.
Well, they
never talk about Iraq. They never talk about any of his business dealings. Well, that actually sounds like a pretty poor marriage then, if they don't know what each other are up to. But in fact, I mean, if just looking at her votes and what she supports, it's definitely in the end benefited her husband and in fact herself financially.
Mm-hmm. But you can't cite a specific vote on, say, military contracting or defense appropriations or one of the supplementals for Iraq and Afghanistan where her husband directly benefited?
Well, sure. I mean, there's been a lot of supplemental defense contracts that she has supported that, in fact, have in the end gone to her husband. Now, she recuses herself because she says, well, it's not the Senate that actually chooses which corporations are going to get these contracts. But in the end, they have her husband's companies have gotten these contracts.
Now, I'm really interested in URS Corporation, which has a cozy relationship with the Carlyle Group, and I know that's going to raise eyebrows among many of our listeners.
Yeah, actually, the URS was purchased by Blum Corporations back in 2002 from the Carlyle Group.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a pretty cozy deal with the Carlyle Group, just to show you how close some of his connections are to the Carlyle Group. They, in fact, during that deal, then gained some stock in Perini. So it was sort of a trade-off. They gave them URS, and then they got a stake in Perini. So
now was
there's
that,
definitely
was that the,
a lot of crossover there.
Was Perini, the shares in that, the Ginsu knife in the deal?
Perhaps. I wasn't in the boardrooms at the time, unfortunately.
All right, and you point out in the piece that I have here, URS has seen its stock price more than triple since the war began in March 2003. Blum has cashed in over $2 million on this venture alone, and his firm has taken profits of at least $100 million.
Correct, and in fact, that's outdated. That's actually quadrupled since then, and I believe that it's going to continue to do so.
Mm-hmm. And so why is it that the San Francisco Chronicle does a lot of good muckraking journalism? They've really broke the Barry Bonds steroid story. They're standing by their reporters who are probably going to go to jail for contempt over that. Why is it that the Feinstein-Blum holdings don't attract much attention?
Well, they did write an article early on, but I believe now they're sitting on their hands and not on their keyboards, and I think it's because of Senator Feinstein's in a re-election year. I don't think that they want to touch what something could be called, you know, very controversial. And I believe that it just definitely has to do with the fact that she's running for re-election.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and she's quite a vindictive person. I happen to know because when she was first running for the Senate in 1992, I was the coordinator for a, we call them televised debates, but it was, you know, one of those joint appearances of the candidates. And Feinstein herself was calling me up and calling up the people that we were working with, the Examiner and with Channel 5 in San Francisco. And she wanted us to change the rules of the debate because she wanted a low-polling candidate to be on the panel with her so that she would not have to sit alone with Gray Davis.
Well, it's funny, then. I mean, the Democrats are carrying over the same strategies this year. I'm out in New York, and we have an anti-war candidate running.
Yeah.
Several, actually, one being a Democrat.
Tassini.
And Hillary is definitely, she's totally refusing to debate him.
Right.
It carries over from year to year for these guys.
Well, and on the day of that television show, it just was happenstance that I was called to the elevator to escort Richard Blum to the green room where Dianne Feinstein was waiting. And then she chewed me out in front of him.
Wow.
So I won't be forgetting that. Joshua,
that's good.
thanks for your work. Again, you blog at brickburner.org, and I invite people to stop by and check you out.
Thanks so much for having me.
Nice to talk to you, Joshua Frank. Coming up next, Jason Leopold from truthout.org. He's got an update on the Rove case right here.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Come on in and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones. Everything so tasty you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a killer affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus too. A side of couscous and a baba ghanoush, yeah. Open at 7 every day. Have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery. MPG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey, PG.
Do you have a living trust? Lawyers on Duty is offering a living trust package for just $995. If you're single, only $895. Give your loved ones the safety net by saving them thousands of dollars by avoiding cumbersome legal proceedings. At Lawyers on Duty, they're available and affordable. With over 1,000 living trusts completed locally, they'll work with you to avoid costly probate. Behind Rosine's on Alvarado Street, downtown Monterey. Lawyers on Duty, 375-5100. Alan Kaplan, owner.
Hi, this is Scott Flewelling of Sunset Massage Therapy in Carmel. I opened Sunset Massage Therapy so that locals and visitors could experience the benefits of therapeutic massage without having to pay for the additional overhead of a fancy spa. I'm a nationally certified professional, and I'll tailor my treatment to your individual and therapeutic needs in the clean and comfortable environment of my new massage studio. Sunset Massage Therapy is conveniently located in downtown Carmel on the corner of Mission and 8th, right across from the Sunset Center parking lot. Come experience the relaxing and stress-reducing benefits of therapeutic massage. To schedule an appointment, call 625-3878. That's 625-3878. Mention KRXA and receive $10 off your first treatment.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and travel across the U.S. and around the world. I interview nationally known writers, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make our world so delicious. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. for tasty news shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Listen in and have a good appetite.
Did you hear the show when God called?
Being an atheist myself, having God calling yesterday was a really big blow wow. to all of us.
I think I can go out and say another case of a person's life being changed courtesy of the show and KRXA
yeah,
Radio.
Yeah. Thanks, guys.
The show, weekday mornings, 9 to 10 on KRXA 540.
Hans Auto Repair in Seaside is hands down the finest Volvo maintenance and repair shop in Monterey County. Owners Mike Brooks and Tracy Polacco are both factory trained in Volvo service and repair. They provide outstanding quality and great service at reasonable prices. They only work on Volvos, so you know that your Volvo will be in caring and skilled hands. Hans Auto Repair is at 384 Olympia Avenue in Seaside, or you can call Mike and Tracy at 583-9820. That's 583-9820.
Peter B. Collins Show continues. 33 minutes past the hour, and every week we enjoy a visit with Jason Leopold, the investigative reporter from truthout.org, who also has a hot new book out, a personal memoir called News Junkie, and it sends him on a book tour. So if you're in Northern California, I want to warn you, Jason Leopold is going to be appearing at Book Passage in Corte Madera on Thursday, and he's going to be at Sonoma State University at Project Censored on Friday. He'll be talking and signing books and all that sort of thing, and it gives us our first opportunity to meet face-to-face, Jason.
I'm looking forward to it.
So we've marked off some time on Thursday afternoon when you can stop by the top-secret location of the Peter B. Collins Show.
That's right.
Which is not
too... In my Prius.
You're going to bring your Prius? All right.
That's a joke.
Yeah.
But yes, I'm looking forward to it, and thanks.
You bet. Well, you've been hard at work, and I want to go to the story that you've been working on so arduously. How long has it been now since you've been on the Karl Rove beat?
Oh, man. You know, it's funny. We're getting to the end of August, so, overall, it's been, more than a year and a half.
Yeah.
But in terms of, how deeply embedded I am deeply embedded, I guess that's okay to say, in the story since, April.
Yeah.
And again, at this right now, to just get any little nugget of information of what's taking place behind the scenes, just a sentence, just trying to get our sources to, provide us with some information, which requires them to also look into the issues surrounding the case, takes a very long time. And in addition, we try to vet this information through other people as well to just confirm it. And, again, I think that with this story that we wrote yesterday, where we just wanted to highlight the fact that there's a sealed indictment out there that was returned by the same grand jury, and it's still under seal, 3 months later, is... there should be questions raised. And I think that the fact that there is nothing that has come out of Patrick Fitzgerald's office regarding this case just sort of makes people a bit doubtful, and I understand that. We're trying to just, not just keep it alive for the sake of keeping it alive, but because we, you know, understand from our reporting that there's a lot of activity happening behind the scenes. And it was, you know, so it's taken 2 months just to put this together. And we spoke to, you know, some former federal prosecutors on the record to just get an idea of how the federal judicial system works with regard to, you know, a sealed indictment.
Mm-hmm. Now, let's start there, because in the article, it was posted Monday, 21st of August at truthout.org. It's initially a recap.
Right.
The indictment, 06-CR-128,
right,
was returned by the grand jury hearing evidence in the CIA leak case. They're also hearing other cases. And that was between May and May 17th, right about the time the Truth Out reported, based on sources close to the investigation, that Rove himself had been indicted on charges of perjury and lying to investigators.
Right.
Now, that indictment remains sealed, and it is noted with the unusual nomenclature of sealed versus sealed.
Yeah.
And you and I talked about this at least once before,
right,
which is that ordinarily it would be U.S. versus sealed.
Yeah, ordinarily it would be. And you know, let me point out that this is not by any means the first case, or, you know, this is not a precedent-setting, you know, title that they've titled this sealed versus sealed. There have been other cases that have, you know, been described as sealed versus sealed, but not many. And in fact, you know, what we did check out through our sources, who, you know, former federal prosecutors who have the ability to check, you know, certain cases that are taking place in district court in Washington D.C. We know this is not a terrorism case. We know this is not a drug case. We know that this is not a mafia case, which would, according to them, or I should say organized crime, according to them, you know, that's when you have, usually when you see a sealed versus sealed description. So based on their knowledge and investigative work, the cases that are taking place in that courthouse, none of those are what this indictment refer to.
Mm-hmm. Then you quote former federal prosecutor Laurie Levinson. She's at USC, right?
Yeah. No, she's at Loyola.
Loyola, okay. It's very likely the indictment was sealed in the first place because the defendant is cooperating with an investigation and the government wants to keep that person's identity secret because obviously he might be spilling information that others would be concerned about.
Correct.
And here you write, with Rove cooperating, the probe is once again shifted and the focus is now on another high-level official in the executive branch, Vice President Dick Cheney. Now, this would make sense, and I'm talking hypothetically here because obviously there's too much that I don't know.
Correct.
But if Fitzgerald was willing to cut a deal with Rove, it would not be to nail Libby. It would not be to nail somebody, a lateral person like Hadley or others who are, you know, nominally at Rove's peer level.
Right.
The idea would be to go for a bigger fish. That's the typical way that a prosecutor builds a series of cases like this. And so, logically, I could see Dick Cheney as a target there. Now, this came up last week in the discussion with Melanie Sloan at Crew.
Very interesting.
They've taken over civil suit that Wilson and Plame have filed against Cheney, Rove, and a series of other White House defendants. And one of the key issues is whether Dick Cheney will claim immunity. Now, the civil suit is different from a criminal prosecution like Fitzgerald.
Right.
In your opinion, and based on the sources you've talked to, can Cheney make an effective claim of immunity on these issues?
Well, you know, I, based on the former federal prosecutors and just the law as it stands, no, he can't. But his, you know, at least according to our sources inside the investigation, his office has already claimed that, you know, for national security reasons, he is sort of immune to this. I don't quite understand that. And it's, you know, under their interpretation that the constitutional issues, you know, whatever they may be, they have not been described, shield him from you know, from scrutiny.
Well, we've also seen this administration is shameless in making incredible assertions of executive authority.
Right.
witness the ruling of Anna Diggs Taylor in Detroit last week.
Yeah. I mean, that's just the most recent example. Absolutely, and it's just, you know, I have to say that it's quite. This is unbelievable because, you know, there are many things that Mark Ash is the executive director of Truth Out. I know you've spoken with him before. We worked on this story, and many of the things that we did not include in this piece that we were, you know, told about on background simply because it just didn't apply in terms of what's going on behind the scenes at the FBI when it comes to investigating, you know, corrupt government officials. And there's a lot of them is unbelievable because, you know, there's a lot more activity than we really know about. And particularly with, you know, with this administration, there's still the, you know, a major disconnect between the FBI, the CIA, and the White House. And the White House still looks at, you know, the FBI and the CIA as enemies in a sense, and what I mean is that they're, you know, they're not on the same page. You know, they're asking questions, they're trying to, you know, gather information, and they're being stonewalled. And with, you know, particularly as it relates to you know, to Dick Cheney, there's some more information or documents that they're trying to gather. You know, one of the filings that we were pointed to again is the there's a May 24th filing that Fitzgerald had drafted in response to one of Libby's motions, Sugar Libby's motions for discovery for further evidence, and in that filing, you know, looking at it again, he says, with you know, no shortage of, you know, not couching his words in any way, that Dick Cheney ordered, you know, information to be disseminated to the media in regards to Joe Wilson and what he was saying. And, you know, he really makes it clear that, you know, Dick Cheney played an active role. So coming back to this story, it does seem like, you know, he would be going after a big fish. Again, I think it's going to be really difficult for people to grasp that at this point simply because, you know, there's been a quiet period.
Right.
But,
yeah,
you know, look at the way Fitzgerald has worked these past couple of months with cases just as they relate to his own, you know, state of Chicago. He certainly has gone right to the top, you know, when it comes to, you know, state government officials, you know, business executives. So, you know, he's got tougher. This is obviously a much more difficult case, but I think what it also comes down to is that it's not done. There is no finality.
And let me read another cite here from your piece. We're talking with Jason Leopold. Fitzgerald's investigation into the plane matter is still active and ongoing, sources said, and will be for some time. Fitzgerald has long considered bringing additional charges against other individuals in the administration. However, it's unknown whether Fitzgerald's strategy will change as the investigation moves forward. He has yet to comment on the status of the probe or specifically on high-profile figures his investigators have focused on. The only public comments have surfaced thus far on the direction of the investigation have come from Rove's attorney, Robert Luskin, and syndicated columnist Bob Novak, who revealed Plame's CIA status in a July 14 column, 2003. And, of course, he has offered some comments about his role with the in cooperating with Fitzgerald. So,
right. That's important for people to remember that the only voice of dissent in terms of, you know, what particularly as it relates to Karl Rove is Robert Luskin. And you know, the other part that in the story that I thought was very important to point out was this letter, this mm-hmm. letter that he received. You know.
Yeah. Now let's pause for the break because I want to air that out in detail, and we'll do that next as we continue with Jason Leopold. If you have a question or comment about the ongoing Rove investigation, feel free to call us 888-5-PETER-B. That's toll free 888-573-8372. 888-5-PETER-B. You're listening to KRXA 540.
Would you like to be part of a conversation that might not only inspire your golf game, but have you thinking differently about sports, about learning, and about performance? Join golf pro and best-selling author Fred Shoemaker on KRXA 540 Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. for Extraordinary Golf, some uncommon conversations about golf, and maybe even a little beyond golf. Extraordinary Golf, Saturday mornings on KRXA 540 at 8 a.m.
Hello, this is Al Moore with More Imported Cars in Monterey, where we feature quality pre-owned motor cars. It has been said that the world's best automobiles are manufactured within sight of the Alps. They include Mercedes-Benz, BMWs, and Porsches. These are the marks of dreams, and they're the manufacturers we specialize in. Some of our European autos start as low as $21,000 and experience very little depreciation. In fact, many of our Porsches actually increase in value, and our Porsches and other German autos have surprisingly good gas mileage too. Many of our autos are covered under manufacturer's warranty or are available with short or long-term service agreements. We also can arrange financing, and we do accept trades.
Drop by More Imported Cars, 999 Del Monte Avenue in Monterey, or browse to moreimports.com. That's M-O-H-R imports.com. Call Al Moore at 831-373-3131.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. We know that our children learn by playing, and the caring staff at Thinker Toys will help you choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. Stop by our beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos and the just renovated Thinker Toys at Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
Take a check of your drive. Have a problem in Salinas now. Old Stage Road at Herbert Road. It's a stalled car blocking one of the lanes of traffic. Aptos checking in now with a problem. Southbound along Highway 1 just before Soquel Drive. It's an injury crash and one of the vehicles is blocking the left-hand lane. Emergency crews on the scene. In Santa Cruz, northbound Highway 1 after Highway 17, a stall here. It's a pickup truck blocking the right-hand lane. And also in Salinas, southbound 101 before John Street, watch for a couple of big rig tie-downs. It's debris straps in the lanes of traffic. Traffic this time around is brought to you by Preparation H. Preparation H cream relieves burning, itching, and also gives you maximum strength pain relief on contact. It's the most complete preparation relief ever. I'm Alex Daly with traffic on KRXA 540.
Show rolls on. Our guest is Jason Leopold, investigative reporter who writes at truthout.org, and his new memoir, personal memoir called News Junkie, is out and really selling big. He's going to be at Book Passage in Corte Madera in the Bay Area on Thursday evening, 7 p.m., and then at Project Censored at Sonoma State University Friday night at 7 p.m., and you've got to give regards to Peter Phillips and the team at Project Censored. For me, Jason, they do a lot of great work.
Oh, yeah,
there.
They're fantastic.
And previously, did they cite your work as some of the most censored from, say, the California energy crisis era?
Yeah, actually, let's see. I received, this year, I came in number two.
Uh-huh.
For the one that I guess will be announced later in October. That's for a story I did regarding Halliburton and Iran about a year and a half ago.
Uh-huh.
And the meeting between Gray Davis, or I should say the meeting between Arnold Schwarzenegger, Ken Lay.
Right, the Enron and Arnold confab.
Right. That was one of them, one of the others, which they cited in my before.
Well, I remember that story, and I am glad to know that you're the guy who can claim credit for it.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Thank you.
Now, returning to the Rove investigation, I wanted to focus now on Robert Luskin and the letter that he says was sent to him by Patrick Fitzgerald in June.
Right.
And I will note that after you and I spoke last week, Melanie Sloan, who we mentioned, is now helping the Wilsons with their civil suit on these issues.
Yeah.
She was rather circumspect when I raised the question about whether we can believe Luskin, and she said, well, he's a highly regarded criminal attorney in Washington.
Right.
And so that is for what it's worth. But it appears that Luskin is so unwilling to release the letter that we have to be suspicious that it contains more or less than he has told us it does.
Well, you know, again, former federal prosecutors who have, you know, a combined total of, you know, 80 years work in the federal judicial system and have been involved in, you know, high-profile cases said that, you know, a letter such as this that was sent to Luskin would not be a, you know, an exoneration letter. It is a very lengthy letter that, if taken as a whole, certainly would not give off the appearance that the, you know, person who is a subject or a target, in this case Karl Rove, is free and clear. In fact, it would sort of, you know, what it would do is just add to the uncertainty that he still remains, you know, part of the investigation. And what they, you know, what these people said, such as Laurie Levinson, is that, you know, this type of a letter would just basically say, right now, you know, meaning right now, we don't anticipate bringing charges, but this investigation is still continuing.
So you write, let me cite another quote here. The letter, we are told, spelled out what was expected of Rove and made clear the ramifications should he fail to honor the terms of his verbal cooperation agreement with Fitzgerald.
Right.
So this suggests that we're in a kind of gray area, a less settled state legally, where they may not have either accepted a plea bargain from Rove or reached a final agreement regarding such a plea deal.
Exactly. And, you know, one of the, you know, let me also just say this is, or at least what we're told, a quid pro quo in which, you know, Luskin has long said, you know, or maintained that Rove has always cooperated, and you know they sure that's but this is, you know, in sort of a different context. If he's cooperating in a way to sort of avoid prosecution, well, you know, that is what the letter, you know, suggests and what it says. And, you know, from what we understand, it would be, you know, about 2 to 3 pages. And it would lay out everything in detail. It certainly would not say that, you know, you're off the hook, but instead would provide additional insight into what his role was, what they expect from him, you know, some of the, you know, further investigation, you know, going forward, you know, what if they were to find anything. It certainly would not, it's not a simple two-sentence or one-sentence line.
Now, I'm going to jump
to... And I think also, by the way,
go ahead.
It was very important for Robert Luskin at that point, you know, to sort of, you know, put to bed the uncertainty that remained out there, in the public eye, that Rove was, you know, nobody knew, like, what was happening. And certainly our story was out there saying he was indicted, and then, you know, suddenly this letter comes out. But again, sure, Robert Luskin is a highly respected attorney, but that does not, you know, that does not mean that he is incapable of sort of, you know, stretching or the truth or interpreting it, you know, in a way that would benefit his client.
Now, Jason, I've never met Patrick Fitzgerald. I can't read his mind, but it's not going to prevent me from what I'm about to say.
Yeah.
If I were him, I wouldn't trust a verbal agreement with Karl Rove.
Right.
I would not accept, you know, his representations that he's going to cooperate without imposing sanctions on him. He's just too slippery a guy. And to imagine that there's some sort of a verbal arrangement between Fitzgerald and Rove via Luskin, that's something that even a guy like Fitzgerald couldn't count on.
Yeah. Well, I would have, you know, we were... unable to really find out what he is providing, what information he is providing, if there's any, you know, further direction that he's helping, you know, what exactly he is doing in order to receive this sort of, you know, get out of jail free card, so to speak. But I have to say that, you know, as we get closer to the midterm elections, I sort of have this gut feeling that, you know, the silence that we're hearing, or the silence that exists, you know, from Fitzgerald's office to, you know, to anyone else, it sort of seems that it has to do with that. You know, maybe, you know, this may have to do with politics at play. I mean, certainly we've heard that the New York Times sat on that NSA story because we were very close to an election. Of course, that was a presidential election. But there's still, again, you know, he was appointed special prosecutor. And if this investigation were over, it would be my understanding, as well as those individuals who I spoke with, that, you know, he would let people know that this investigation is, in fact, over.
Here's another former federal prosecutor that you quote on the record, John Moustakas.
Yes.
He says, typically what I would do is get evidence of wrongdoing and develop it sufficiently to get an indictment. Then I would send a target letter to the defendant. Then you put a dog and pony show on. I would bring him into my office and say, here's the case. Here's what you did. Lay out main evidence against him. I'd encourage a pre-indictment plea, which essentially means that it took the indictment to get him to cooperate. It wouldn't be surprising. If the sealed indictment is Karl Rove, there's a really big story there. But my view generally is, if it's Rove, it smells bad that it's under seal still. It feels like it's intended to benefit the administration. I think the truth is, if he's cooperating against Libby, there's going to come a time soon that the government will have to disclose that fact to Libby's attorneys.
Right, right. And, you know, I was real... that was certainly interesting to me, and the way that he described it. And I think that, you know, we've come to expect... let's face it, I certainly have been, you know, one of the journalists out there who have put Patrick Fitzgerald up on a pedestal. You know, he's sort of the Elliot Ness type character who's just a straight shooter. I'm not saying that he's not, but at the same time, you know, maybe there are other things that are happening behind the scenes that, you know, that will benefit the administration. You know, right now. But again, you know, what we were told is that they're looking at Dick Cheney. Mm-hmm. And whether they're able to do anything, we don't know. But this is still alive.
Well, Jason, thank you for the update. I'm looking forward to seeing you in person on Thursday. As we mentioned, Jason Leopold will be doing a book signing and talk at Book Passage in Corte Madera in Marin County Thursday night at 7 p.m. And then a Project Censored in Sonoma State University, Friday night, 7 p.m. as well. Jason, we'll see you Thursday.
I'm looking forward to it, Peter.
All right.
A good one.
Thanks a lot. Coming up next, Melanie Sloan joins us from CRU, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. And we head into the Free Speech Zone, too, right here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Tom Hartman.
We have given our electoral process, the franchise by which democracy happens, the most vital part of the commons by which we administer the commons, we have privatized it. We have turned it over to private for-profit corporations.
It's the Tom Hartman program.
And they have no damn business telling us how we voted.
The new Radio Free America. Tom Hartman. Weekday mornings 10 to noon on KRXA 540.
In response to rising interest rates, Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage in Salinas offers the following advice to homeowners with variable rate loans. Don't panic or overreact. If you feel trapped in a frightening squeeze, first analyze your situation calmly, then take the best action available. There are so many types of loans, one is very likely to meet your particular needs. For a free consultation with Victor Munoz at Creative Mortgage, call 757-0436. Let Victor share with you the knowledge that he has built up over many years in the mortgage industry. Call Victor at 757-0436 today.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. The wheels of criminal justice have started to turn for the man accused of murdering JonBenet Ramsey. CBS News correspondent Steve Futterman reports from Los Angeles.
John Mark Carr made his first court appearance here today.
A demand has been made for your surrender by the state of Colorado, County of Boulder, Mr. Carr.
The complaint alleges that you're a fugitive from justice and that you're charged with five counts.
The suspect in the murder of JonBenet Ramsey waived extradition. That clears the way for Carr to be sent now to Boulder. Here's CBS's Lee Frank.
Once Carr arrives in Colorado, within 72 hours, he's expected to be brought into court for his initial appearance. At that time, he'll be advised of the charges against him but will not be entering a plea.
It's not clear exactly when Carr will leave California. Steve Futterman, CBS News, at the Criminal Courts Building in Los Angeles.
Senator John McCain, who's expected to run for president, is distancing himself from the Bush administration on the war in Iraq. While he supports the war, McCain told an audience in Columbus today he doesn't like the way it's been conducted.
The sectarian violence in Baghdad has to be reduced. It cannot continue at this level. And the mistakes that we made by not having enough troops on the ground, we are paying a very heavy price for it.
McCain accused the administration of misleading Americans about how tough it would be. He said the war was portrayed as some kind of day at the beach. The latest CBS News and New York Times poll shows deepening public concern about the war and President Bush's leadership.
He's still hampered by low approval ratings on some of the most important issues of the day. Only 30% approve of how he's handling Iraq, and 35% approve of how he's handling the economy.
Sarah Dutton of our survey unit says the president does get higher marks for his handling of terrorism. 55% say they approve, up from a low of 43% in February. Tom Cruise has been cut loose. The star of Mission Impossible, Top Gun, and other films has lost the support of Viacom's Paramount Pictures unit and its boss, Sumner Redstone. Mark Steinis is co-host of Entertainment Tonight.
Sumner Redstone has released a statement saying that because of what he deemed somewhat of a failure or a disappointment at the box office with Mission Impossible 3 and the kind of recent antics of Tom Cruise and his Scientology beliefs and kind of stumping for his religion and also his appearance on Oprah and whatnot, he's become a little bit more of a controversial figure than what Paramount wants to be associated with.
Redstone is also chairman of CBS. Paramount is ending its 14-year relationship with the actor's production company. No immediate comment from Tom Cruise. Someone pulled a prank during a showing of Snakes on a Plane in Phoenix. AMC Entertainment says two live diamondback rattlesnakes were released in the theater. No one was hurt. The snakes were caught and released in the desert. On Wall Street today, the Dow lost 5 points to close at 11,339. The Nasdaq gained 2. Its finish was 2150. This is CBS News.
You, line dancing with space aliens. Leprechauns playing hopscotch. Hot guy on the cover of a romance novel braiding your hair. Hot guy on the cover of a romance novel braiding his own hair. Genghis Khan in underwear that reads Saturday, but it's Monday. Dreams. They can be strange and magical. But if you can't sleep, you can't dream. So ask your doctor about Rosarum, a sleep aid like no other. Approved for adults having trouble falling asleep. Rosarum is the first and only prescription sleep aid that in clinical studies shows no potential for abuse or dependence. So you can get to sleep. And maybe your dreams will get to see you again.
Don't take Rosarum if you're taking Luvox, Fluvoxamine, or have severe liver problems. Avoid taking it with alcohol. Don't drive or operate machinery until you know how you'll react to Rosarum. Rosarum may affect certain hormones. Consult your doctor about how this may affect you, or if your insomnia doesn't improve. Take Rosarum right before bed. Side effects may include drowsiness, fatigue, and dizziness. Individual results may vary. Ask your doctor today if Rosarum is right for you. For more information, call 1-877-ROSARUM-1. See our ad in Prevention Magazine or visit Rosarum.com.
Unicorns, mermaids, gargoyles, dragons.
What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, but if you want to get a marriage license, it's not going to happen in the middle of the night. Effective next week, the city's Marriage License Bureau will no longer be open 24/7. It'll issue licenses 7 days a week, but in a cost-cutting move, the office will be closed from midnight till 8 a.m. That's a blow to Charlotte Richards, who owns the Little White Wedding Chapel.
I feel bad because the people that come from around the world have known for all the years that I've been in business, which is 48, that the Marriage License Bureau has always been open.
Even in Vegas, officials say there isn't much demand for marriage licenses in the wee hours. But every once in a while, Charlotte Richards says there's a notable exception.
Britney Spears got married at 5 o'clock in the morning. She came to the chapel, and we sent her to the courthouse to get her license at 4:30 in the morning.
That marriage was annulled 2 days later. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Hello, would you like to be more successful with the opposite sex? I'm Ted Baker, and my program can teach you how to attract a mate. Listen to this.
Ted told me about logging on to freecreditreport.com. I learned that my good credit could help me buy a car and a boat, and now chicks dig me.
My patented system could work for you, too. Log on to freecreditreport.com to get your free credit score and report. A nice condo could make you irresistible.
Get your free credit score and report with enrollment in Triple Advantage at freecreditreport.com. Get the score.
Hey, let's go to my house for an Ovaltine milkshake.
I love chocolate Ovaltine shakes. Let's go!
Isn't it snack time for the kids?
Let's make them Ovaltine milkshakes.
I'll get out the ice cream and milk.
And I'll get the rich chocolate Ovaltine.
Hey, this is Mama's making Ovaltine shake.
Yes, I love her Ovaltine shake.
Yeah!
Now I'll add the rich chocolate Ovaltine.
And I'll get the glasses.
Mom, we're home!
Who wants an Ovaltine shake?
I do!
I guess we better make more.
More Ovaltine shakes, please.
You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 6 minutes past the hour, and we're heading into the free speech zone.
Smiling faces sometimes pretend to be your friend. Smiling faces show no traces of the evil that lurks within. Smiling faces, smiling faces sometimes. They don't tell the truth. Smiling faces, smiling faces tell lies. And I got proof. Oh, Lord, yeah.
I remember that song vividly. From the summer of 1970, Electric Motown, it's called The Undisputed Truth, and the song is called Smiling Faces. If you call into the Free Speech Zone today and you'd like to talk about a summer song that is always on your mind, you never forget, I'd be happy to entertain that. This is one of those. Normally we expect to chat with Melanie Sloan at this time. She's not available today, and we're going to let her off the hook because we have a guilt-free approach to participation in the Peter B. Collins Show, and Melanie does a terrific job watching the ethics of our public officials in Washington, and we'll catch up with her next week, or maybe she'll call in. If so, we'll talk to her. But I want to open up the phone lines to talk with you. You know the rules here in the Free Speech Zone. Any subject from any viewpoint, and you can call from anywhere within the sound of my voice. The number toll-free is 888-5-PETER-B. You dial 888, and then the number 5, and then if you can manage, the letters P-E-T-E-R-B. You prefer the digits straight? 888-573-8372. I'm going to say that again slowly because I hate it when you're listening to the radio and they blast off a number and you can't catch it. 888. 573-8372. We had some powerful guests on the program today. Ian Williams from The Nation talked about the abuse of the term terror and terrorism, talked about the posture of the U.S. toward the ceasefire in Lebanon. Dar Jamail gave us first-person reportage from his experiences in Lebanon during the 33-day war, and I was really, really impressed with what he had to tell us. We talked to Joshua Frank about Dianne Feinstein and her husband Richard Blum, who is profiting handsomely from his investments in Perini Construction and the URS Corporation, both significant beneficiaries of our spending in Iraq and on military efforts in general. And Jason Leopold updated us on developments, the current status of the investigation into who leaked Joe Wilson's wife's name, Valerie Plame, in retaliation for his honesty about the phony information that Bush included in the State of the Union message, which he tried to use and successfully did with many Americans to propel us into this war in Iraq. So those subjects are all up for grabs, or you can bring up one of your own. All my lines are open right now, so don't be shy. Yesterday we nudged out two or three brand new first-time callers to the Peter B. Collins Show. I'd be delighted if you surfaced today for the first time. Maybe you've just been trying to get your nerve up. Well, go ahead and do it. You got all those minutes. I pay for the call. So dial that fancy cell phone now, 888-5-PETER-B. A couple of things that I wanted to catch up on from the Sunday New York Times. Frank Rich, in my view, is one of the best op-ed columnists in America today. And he has focused almost exclusively on the misdeeds of the Bush administration, and in particular, the war in Iraq. His column this past Sunday was entitled, 5 years after 9/11, Fear Finally Strikes Out. And he makes the case that Bush has cried wolf at least one or maybe more times too many. And he writes that while the new Middle East promised by Condi Rice remains a delusion, the death rattle of the domestic political order we've lived with since 9/11 can be found everywhere. In Americans' unhysterical reaction to the British terror plot, in politicians and pundits' hysterical overreaction to Joe Lieberman's defeat in Connecticut, even in the ho-hum box office reaction to Oliver Stone's World Trade Center. It's not as if the White House didn't pull out all the stops to milk the terror plot to further its politics of fear. One self-congratulatory presidential photo op was held at the National Counterterrorism Center, a dead ringer for the set on 24. But Mr. Bush's Jack Bauer is no more persuasive than his own Tom Cruise of Top Gun. By crying wolf about terrorism, way too often, usually when a distraction is needed from bad news in Iraq, he and his administration have long since become comedy fodder, and not just on The Daily Show. June's scenario was particularly choice. As Baghdad imploded, Alberto Gonzalez breathlessly unmasked a Miami terror cell plotting a full ground war and even the destruction of the Sears Tower. Even though the alleged cell had no concrete plans, no contacts with terrorist networks, and no equipment, including boots. So Rich goes on, and he writes so well. Every line, every paragraph is worth citing. But you get the idea. And I hope Frank Rich is right. I hope that the fear-mongering has run its course. But we see far too many Americans who are willing to be distracted by JonBenet Ramsey, by the liquid bombing plot from Britain, and they don't seem to be really paying attention in a critical manner. And that scares me, because as you've heard on this program, many of the people we've talked with indicate that this administration, as Seymour Hersh has reported, is preparing a major military action against Iran. And many people just think, well, they couldn't be even thinking about that. And as Dar Jamil pointed out, that is applying rational thinking to people who don't use it, or at least not very often. 888-5-PETER-B, 888-5-PETER-B, if you'd like to talk in the free speech zone here this afternoon. The other item I wanted to point out is that the New York Times has a public editor, an ombudsperson, who tries to reflect critical looks at the Times itself. And Byron Kalame is the current reader's representative. And he published a series of letters from readers this past week, largely related to the Times' decision to withhold its story about the warrantless surveillance from the NSA until after the 2004 election. They waited until December of 2005. Here's one letter from Jonathan Dixon, Santa Fe, New Mexico. Bill Keller took it upon himself to influence the election by withholding the story of the administration's illegal eavesdropping. Afterward, when called on it, he apparently lied about the timeline. Now he minimizes the lying by calling his language inelegant. Yes, Mr. Keller, lying is inelegant. Mr. Keller's job as executive editor of the Times is not to influence elections. It is not to decide what is fair to politicians, especially after concluding, including in his consideration of fairness, consultation with the very administration accused of illegal activities. Mr. Keller's job, specifically noted in our Constitution, as a key safeguard of our democracy, is to provide accurate information to allow well-informed citizens to vote responsibly for the well-being of our country. Jonathan Dixon. Very well put. Lines are open for you. 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. It's Ed from Aptos. Welcome back, Ed.
Greetings.
Nice to talk to you. What's on your mind today?
Well, I talked to the gang in the morning about this. I heard it earlier, I guess it was yesterday, about the cost of the war and putting it in perspective with our security. That being that what it would cost to inspect the cargo that goes on all the airplanes.
Yeah.
That's 2 days worth of the war. And to inspect all the ports is 5 days of the war.
Mm-hmm.
That just, it boggles the mind.
Well, it does, and particularly when the Bush administration is trying to use the intercepted British plot as a reason to justify its surveillance of Americans, its cutting corners on the law, its constitutional violations of our right to probable cause before search and surveillance, that sort of thing. And they're trying to harden public opinion around fear. And that's my point in citing Frank Rich's column from the Sunday New York Times. I think that they've reached the point of diminishing returns on playing the fear card. There will always be some Fox News Channel viewers who will respond to it. But my feeling is that it has run its course, and many people are saying, wow, I can't carry a bottle of Evian or Calistoga on a plane in the United States, even though there has been nothing whatsoever reported to suggest that terrorists wanted to board planes in the United States with liquid explosives.
Add to that that they've known about this since 1994.
Bojinka.
Bingo.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just sheer stupidity. It's almost like closing the barn door after the cows have left. And, you know, knowing what I know, I could probably get something on and destroy an airplane with the current state of the security. And I think if anybody else wants to put their mind to it, they could, too.
Well, we've had a couple of fellows who worked on the FAA Red Team on our program, Bogdan Zukovic and his colleague, Steve Elson. Say again?
Elson,
yeah, who both just flatly say we're as vulnerable now as we were 5 years ago.
Yes, it's just a facade for, problem for the people, I guess.
Well, and what they don't seem to recognize is that by putting America on, an alert footing, by diverting our, airport security services we do have now into the liquid thing, there are a lot of other things that you could sneak onto an airplane that aren't liquids that could blow it up or at least do significant damage. And so we careen to the right to respond to one provocation while we are opening ourselves up to many others. The cargo that you cited is a very clear vulnerability.
Well, what they've said before is just almost self-evident, if you will, that the stuff that's going on, and knowing what I know, that all this is what was so maddening all the time is going through all this charade of security,
right?
And people buying the crap, I said it boggles my mind that the stupidity of the American public. Really.
Yeah. And I got to run to a break. Thanks for your call. Good subject. Appreciate it.
Take care now.
888-5 Peter B. More of your calls coming up next here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens, he cares.
Hello? Hello? What's in the box? Tell me what's in the box.
Rock, roll, and real estate.
Every Sunday morning at 10, Rock Rolling Real Estate gives you the best information on first-time homebuyers, 1031 exchanges, investment strategies, exit strategies, and where the next hot real estate markets are. Rock Rolling Real Estate, where you're buying ahead of the curve. Every Sunday morning at 10.
It's Behind the Wheel, the Consumer New Car Review. I'm Peter B. Collins. This week, I've been behind the wheel of the 2006 Volkswagen GTI, which VW dubs the new GTI. The GTI is a two-door hatchback that seats five, though it's not so easy for an adult to get in and out of the back seat. The 2-liter four-cylinder engine is turbocharged and fuel-injected, and with a 6-speed manual transmission, it delivers plenty of power and acceleration without too much torque. It's very responsive with a sports suspension that really holds the road. The base price of $22,000 includes an impressive array of features and accessories, including air conditioning, power steering, and a 6-CD changer that plays MP3s. But the final price creeps up near $30,000 with a navigation system and satellite radio added in. By the numbers, the 2006 VW new GTI gets 25 miles in the city, 31 on the highway, and stickers in California for about $28,000. Behind the wheel, I'm Peter B. Collins.
Pacific Grove Liquors is the one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, spirits, and beers at very reasonable prices. Whether you seek the ideal California or imported wine, quality distilled spirits like top shelf tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and premium vodkas, PG Liquors is your beverage outlet. Love beer? PG Liquors boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales and lagers, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand your wine, beer, and liquor store.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Collins Show. Rocking along with Golden Earring from the Netherlands. Lines are open for you in the free speed zone right now. 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. Toll free. And joining us from Scottsdale, Arizona, it's Jennifer on the line. Hello, Jennifer.
Hi.
Nice to talk with you.
Oh, great. We listen to you on the internet.
Oh, great.
Yes.
We're also on the radio in Phoenix late at night, after midnight on KPHX.
Yeah. I usually fall asleep, but I try to be awake for that.
Uh-huh. Well, good. I appreciate that. What would you like to talk about today?
Well, I was just wondering, what do you think about loose change? What do you feel about it?
Well, I think that loose change raises a lot of very powerful questions, and I think it's very well produced. I do have a few misgivings about some of the claims they make and the manner in which they do it. I think that the narrative of the film often doesn't cite the sources that establish the credibility of statements being made. At the same time, I think they did a phenomenal job
in
assembling the key questions that challenge the mythology of the official 9/11 story, the failure of the 9/11 Commission to ferret out the truth, and the fundamental fallacies of the pancake theory at the World Trade Centers and the fallacies of what really happened at the Pentagon. Those, to me, are the most glaring questions, and I think that loose change, for example, the animation sequence that they show scenarios of a plane coming into the Pentagon, I think that refutes substantially the stories that we've been told about the Pentagon.
Exactly. Well, there's a lot of unanswered questions. That's why if the only government would answer them, so probably we won't ask that many.
Well, it's true, Jennifer, because I was talking with this about this with a friend last night, and we acknowledge that we have these questions, but we have to be a little sensitive about broaching them to people who aren't prepared for it or whose minds are not open to it.
Exactly.
And as a first step, I want to tip you off that September 5th, there is a new film being released that was produced by two people I know, Rory O'Connor and Kyle Hentz. Kyle has been active in the 9/11 Truth Movement from the very beginning, allied with the Jersey Girls and other families who lost loved ones on 9/11. And this new film, if you want to go to the website, it's 911pressfortruth.com.
Okay.
So 9/11, don't put the slash in there. One listener had trouble with that. 911, press for truth. And you can order the DVD there.
Okay.
It's going to be released on September 5th. And we're hoping to sponsor some house parties in September for the screening of this documentary. And I want to be clear, it's not like Loose Change.
That's okay.
It's a much broader indictment of the 9/11 Commission. And it restates the desire of the families to really get to the truth.
Well, I send a lot of them back home because I come from Europe originally, and I'm British subject and been here over 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just thinking, like, when I went to England last year, and there was so much freedom there. We can talk, we can say things about Blair. But over here, everybody's tongue-tied. Like, when at work, even my Democrat friends, I get angry with them. I said, why don't you speak out or come to the 9/11? And they said, oh, we don't want to. Don't talk about it. They're all so scared.
Yeah. Now, there are people, I think some people are afraid of the truth, and I think some people are afraid of knowing the truth because they think it might make them a target of some sort.
Exactly. I am probably a target.
Yeah.
Some I call England, I know they're listening.
Well, we actually every now and then just acknowledge that we expect that a guy named Benny, we don't know his real name, but we call him Benny, is our personal monitor over at the NSA.
Uh-huh.
And we have this little annoying sound we play.
Oh, good.
Just for Benny every once in a while.
All right. Okay. But we keep listening to you. You're great. We think and Air America over here is great, too, the local.
Right.
But
Mike Newcomb's on in the morning.
Yes.
He's my pal.
Yes.
Thank you,
great.
Jennifer. Good to talk to you. Ben and Salinas, you're next here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Yes, Peter. The most important outcome to me of the Loose Change video is to take a closer look at Marvin Bush, the security interests, the fact that the company that he was representing security for is owned by the same people in Dubai that were trying to take over the ports.
Mm-hmm.
And those people, whoever, in my opinion, planted charges in that building, they were on somebody's payroll. Those were human beings, not robots. Somebody's going to crack eventually.
I think you're right.
The main impetus of my call, though, today is this buffer zone that's being created around Israel, a lot of it with U.S. taxpayer dollars. I think we're creating a buffer zone around them, trying to drag in other U.N. countries to be memberships so Bush can get in the media and say, they expanded the war on terror to protect America, protect freedom, whether they like it or not, because they know the upcoming military offense about to take place in Iran and I believe Syria, and it's a buffer to protect an all-out retaliation to Israel. But then again, we'll see if time tells me right or wrong.
Yeah, well, I'm not disagreeing with what you're saying, Ben.
Now I want to open myself up to the ridicule of the audience.
Well, then stand by. Come back after the break, and we'll open you up to ridicule, but I don't have time enough for it right now. So stand by, Ben. We'll return. More of your calls coming up. Grab a line in the Free Speech Zone, 888-5-PETER-B. I'm Peter B. Collins.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am Attorney Sean Mills.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale. At a new time, Reality Radio can now be heard every Saturday afternoon from 4 to 5. So keep it right here, AM 540, for extraordinary progressive talk. Number one in Reality Radio, with me, Sheila Gale. There's nothing we won't talk about. See us Saturday, 4 to 5, Reality Radio, right here on AM 540 KRXA.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Parents, do you need cash for college? This year, more than $100 billion is available for financial aid. Let AboutCollegeFunding.com help you navigate the complicated process to accessing your share of these funds. AboutCollegeFunding.com is now offering free one-hour consultations for parents in need of answers. To schedule your free one-hour consultation with RJ Moyet, call 1-888-337-9775. That's 1-888-337-9775.
Remember, the early bird gets the cash.
This is Frank Don. On Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. here on KRXA 540 a.m., join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour, a live call-in program to discuss astrology, the astrology of the world, and your own personal astrology. Let me answer your questions, and let me teach you how astrology can help you make better life choices. Here on KRXA 540 a.m. from 7 to 8 every Sunday evening, join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour.
Saturday, September 2nd, live in Monterey, it's Stephanie Miller.
If you look at Katrina, it goes more toward the theory that they're just disastrously incompetent. Awesome. But then if you look at Iraq, you're like, they're disastrously incompetent and they lied.
One of the fastest rising stars in progressive talk radio, Stephanie Miller, is appearing live Saturday, September 2nd at Monterey's Casa Munras Hotel. Tickets are just $45. Go to MontereyCountyDemocrats.org or call 758-9503. That's 758-9503.
For those of you that think that gospel music has gone too far, you think we've gotten too radical with our message. Well, I got news for you. You ain't heard nothing yet. And if you don't know, now you know. Glory, glory! Woo! You better put some hands together and act like you know it's in here. Peace, peace!
It's the Peter B. Collins Show.
Put your hands together. Church up in here. Come on.
I am a church-free white guy, but I find black gospel music irresistible. Stop.
You can't take my joy, devil.
That's Kirk Franklin and New Nation. We're in the free speech zone, and I got four lines open. That means there's one just for you. 888-5-PETER-B, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And Ben hung on through the break, and he had just teased us with the idea that what he is about to say might lead to, what was it, derision?
And I stand ready to be ridiculed, but questioned intellectually if possible. Here's the deal, Peter.
Yeah?
You know those photographs they can't find of the first moon landing, the Apollo mission? They can't find them.
Yeah.
That's bunk, BS. Here's the deal, in my opinion. We didn't land there. By today's technology, you could examine those photographs and find out they were done in a studio somewhere. It's the big lie, because we were so scared with the Sputnik up there, blink, 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 blink. People, we were scared to death. We were at that time, it was the beginning of the Cold War. Khrushchev was banging his shoe on the platform there, and we were into that. Kennedy was about to set us free, but they took care of that and blew his brains out. That was their response.
Now, Ben, let me first acknowledge that I don't think you're a lunatic for raising this question.
Okay.
It happens that earlier today, I was hanging out with my friend John, who works at NASA in Mountain View, California, at the Ames Research Center.
Yes, sir.
And it's funny because he cracked a joke about that. And he said, well, you know, we didn't really land on the moon.
That's right, because when...
But I have to tell you that I don't buy it. I really don't think that we...
If they get to the same spot, yeah, they might have put a laser reflector plate. You can do that with a satellite robot technology even from those days. But to do the kind of computerized rocketry for reentry and all that stuff, first of all, my limited scientific knowledge tells me that man, with today's technology, cannot go through and live in outer space past the Van Allen radiation belt, the inventor of which recently died in the last week. May he rest in peace. But that gentleman, Van Allen, recently died, and he proved that...
Ben, is the space shuttle fiction? Is that a special
space
effect?
Space shuttle up there? That's the next part of my question. Why do we cohabit that thing with Russia? Because they know the truth. I think they hold more power in the space race than we do, but somehow it's being marketed, and I've always thought that space station, it's military. This scientific exploration BS, first get the gold, then they'll tell us how they're going to let us live.
All right, so Ben, how far does this go? Do you think that the entire space program is a hoax?
Of course not, sir. I mean, we are scientific beings, and they're able... I think they can get these robot satellites, and there's a certain amount of things they can do with the technology, especially when you get into robot mining and stuff that are actually able to land on these on the moon and all that. Mankind is so stupid, we don't even know the damn truth about the moon.
Okay,
this geosynchronous thing is fallacy, too.
Ben,
don't know the truth. We know as much about the moon as we do about the pyramids.
Well, all right, Ben. Now, where do you draw the line? What is fact, and where does the fiction begin, in your view?
Well,
did we launch the Gemini program, and did those astronauts actually go into space?
Yes, for a limited exposure. Yes, sir.
Okay.
Believe that.
So Gemini led to what was after Gemini and before Apollo? There was a intermediate program.
When they were trying to set the probes up there to stay up there, when the satellite leading to the series of satellites we've got up there today, sir.
Okay. See, one of the reasons that I have a little resistance to your whole idea,
yes, sir,
is that you wouldn't be able to hear this radio program today without the geostationary satellites,
right,
that we use to bounce radio signals. In this case, my program is uplinked from a facility in Denver, and then stations like KRXA, KGOE, and the others pull the signal down with a satellite receiver.
But
so
what does that have to do with landing on the moon?
Well, I'm trying to figure out at what point you reject the space program and the technical accomplishments that we claim.
We didn't do it then, sir, because we cannot do it now. If they get up there to the spot they claim to have landed, that LEM is not there, nor is the landing platform. It's bunko, it's a lie, and they feed on the ignorance of a lot of American sheep who just want to follow the Fuhrer, and this could lead us to our destruction unless we wake up and be rational, thinking people that you put in two pennies and you get out your two pennies worth, instead of being the national treasures being looted and ripped off to the ends of the super elite that are running us and are having us their way.
All right. Well, Ben, I promise I'm not going to ridicule you, but I don't agree with you.
Well, that's fine.
At this point,
thank you.
I don't have enough evidence to suggest that the moon landing itself was concocted or simply a Hollywood production with special effects. I don't think the special effects were that far along in 1970 to pull it off.
If you're blaming Hollywood, you're looking in the wrong place. You have super wealthy super world powers that control what goes on in Cheyenne Mountain and the Pentagon and those places.
Yeah, but they don't need to.
They're calling shots today, sir.
But Ben,
they gave us the elections. The same group
that,
of people.
I understand a lot of this, okay, and I understand their motivation, and there is a lot of darkness in America. I don't doubt that. Yeah. I just think that to concoct the space program, to concoct the moon landing, is too much trouble. They've learned that they can distract the American people with JonBenet Ramsey. We don't need to try to create science fiction programs and feed them to the American people. So my skepticism is not overcome, Ben.
Well, but the same cabal of people that took over America, in my opinion, with the killing of JFK, is the same cabal of super wealthy elite ghosts that gave us these phony elections and gave us the Nazi we've got now. That's the danger of Treblinka and Auschwitz, these new concentration camps they're building. People need to look at those things for what they are and see them for what they are. You know, if you want a shock of your life, American citizens, call your local FEMA or your sheriff or your police department and say, in the event of a national tragedy, where are you going to house and feed me and my family? And you will get the scare of your damn life when you see what plans they have for you and your family.
All right, Ben. I got to move. Thanks.
Thank you, sir.
Appreciate your call. I want to hear some reaction because this has been out there. I've seen it on the web. I've heard it from people. And Ben is the first person to come on our program and articulate it, and I give him points for having the courage to face my rejection and perhaps your ridicule. And if you've heard about this and if you buy into it, call and see if you can persuade me. But I simply cannot see any reason why our government would use a concocted, fictionalized moon landing to try to deceive the American people or the world at large. I don't get it. I don't see a motive. I don't see a payoff. And I haven't seen any significant evidence to back up what Ben claims, which is that it didn't happen and that you wouldn't find evidence of the moon landing where we said we did. So I'd like to hear from you, 888-5-PETER-B. Do you think that the Apollo project and the moon landing in particular was true? 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. John in Carmel Valley, hello.
Peter, I've been checking an atlas, a fairly old one, a pre-67 National Geographic atlas, because I was curious. I had a vague idea of Lebanon in its size, but it's smaller than I thought it was. In fact, I'm pretty sure it's smaller than Israel before it annexed the West Bank. And this map shows Jordan controlling the West Bank, which, if I remember correctly, Israel annexed after the 67 war.
I think that's right.
Okay. That's where a large number of the Palestinians reside.
Yes,
and in Gaza.
Mm-hmm.
So, in annexing the West Bank, suddenly Israel had many more Palestinians within its border than it otherwise would have had. And if I remember, the birth rate of the Palestinians is much higher than the Israelis, and it's at a point now where don't the Palestinians in Israel outnumber the Israelis?
I don't know exactly. I think it's pretty close, though.
Or they were soon to get to that point. Anyway, it's a threat. It's something the Israelis are constantly considering. And I brought up the subject not too long ago about perhaps, if it were even remotely possible, of having Hanna Ashwari on your program.
Right.
I'm sure it would have to be a phone talk with her. I would love to hear her discuss what the Palestinians who lived in what was then Jordan suddenly thought now that they were, like it or not, Israeli, not necessarily bona fide citizens, but certainly people now living within the borders of Israel. And it never occurred to me until looking at this map, well, my gosh, there's how Israel probably got a lot of this problem just by doing that. And how come Jordan has agreed to losing a substantial chunk of its territory? That I don't know. That's...
Well, wait. Jordan didn't really agree.
I know, but it's acquiesced. I'm not saying
yes.
It agreed. It acquiesced, and it has almost, as I understand it, it has a treaty or at least an understanding, an accord, if not a treaty, just like Israel has one with Egypt. That's why right now, one of the greatest myths circulating, and there's an ad that I found almost by accident. I don't take the Santa Cruz Sentinel. I almost never see it, but a piece, something I bought in a thrift shop, got wrapped with a piece of the Sentinel.
Okay.
And I was about to throw it away, and here's this quite obvious ad put in the Sentinel on August 4th by a group called the Israel Support Campaign. And I was amazed at the kind of language and euphemisms that were in that ad. It says at one point in the beginning of one of the paragraphs, as the Israeli military tries to defend its border with Lebanon, tries to defend as if it were holding back the hordes of Asia or Genghis Khan or somebody was coming in there. One of the most interesting things I've heard discussed, and it hasn't been discussed this much, is that there is no threat to Israeli sovereignty. I mean, Iran may say, oh, we'd like to see Israel wiped from the face of the earth. There is no way any nation at this point is in a position to do that. Not only because Israel has gotten progressively stronger militarily, but when she made these accords or treaties, the one with Egypt was probably the most critical, but also the one with Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
And she has certainly no treaty, but a kind of quiet understanding, it may be shaky, with Syria, her other big threat in earlier times. So even though terrorists are more than an aggravation, I would certainly agree, having rockets, if we had them coming around here, we'd certainly be agitated and wanting them to stop. But there's a huge difference, and that's the same thing that applies here. This whole war on terrorism is brought to us as if it was as threatening as the Japanese and the Germans were to us in World War II.
John, I got to cut you there. I'm late for a break, but I certainly agree with what you're saying, and it is hyperbole for Israel to claim that the rhetoric of Iran poses an equivalent military threat. Thanks for your call today.
Okay.
More calls coming up next. You can grab a line now, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. I'm still Peter B. Collins.
KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Hi, this is Scott Flewelling of Sunset Massage Therapy in Carmel. I opened Sunset Massage Therapy so that locals and visitors could experience the benefits of therapeutic massage without having to pay for the additional overhead of a fancy spa. I'm a nationally certified professional, and I'll tailor my treatment to your individual and therapeutic needs in the clean and comfortable environment of my new massage studio. Sunset Massage Therapy is conveniently located in downtown Carmel on the corner of Mission and 8th, right across from the Sunset Center parking lot. Come experience the relaxing and stress-reducing benefits of therapeutic massage. To schedule an appointment, call 625-3878. That's 625-3878. Mention KRXA and receive $10 off your first treatment.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks?
Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Let's take a look at traffic. I'm Alex Daly, and I apologize for my absence last time. Looking into an odd problem along southbound 101. Checked into it, and it is true, of course, southbound 101 at Lockwood San Lucas Road. There was road work in the right lane earlier today, and that may be why there's leftover debris in that lane of traffic, and it's done damage to one of the vehicles. Use extra caution in that area. Other than that, just slow traffic. We are looking at both sides, east and westbound 156, a little packed in through Castroville. Also, southbound Highway 1, it's bogging down now for that drive between Monterey and Carmel. Also, eastbound 68, a little heavier now between Salinas and Monterey. Heavier this hour, but at least no problems are reported. This look at traffic is brought to you by Preparation H. Preparation H cream relieves burning, itching, and also gives maximum strength pain reliever on contact. It's the most complete Preparation H ever. I'm Alex Daly, and that's traffic on KRXA 540.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show.
Your construction smells of corruption. Underneath the lights, to recreate this air to go in saga. Go under my karma.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show, the final few minutes of the free speech zone. There's still room for your call if you're itching to share an idea or a comment with us. 1-888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. Now, just a few minutes ago, our friendly caller Ben from Salinas offered his idea that this never happened. Let's see if I can get this to load and fire.
At the foot of the ladder, the lamb footbeds are only depressed in the surface about 1 or 2 inches, although the surface appears to be very, very fine-grained as you get close to it. It's almost like a powder. Ground mass is very fine.
And here comes the rehearsed line.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
That's available at YouTube.com, thanks to Matt Renner, our producer, who pointed that out to me during the commercial break. And, you know, it's a murky video. There's no question about it. But I think that's consistent with, you know, some pictures that were shot on the moon and returned to us. So, you know, that's my take on it. And if you have any insight into this, maybe you've done some research, you've followed this skepticism, I'd love to hear from you. But I personally feel that the original story is probably true. So Matt sent me to Wikipedia here, first human on the moon, and he said there's a discussion here. Where will I find the controversy, Matt?
It should be on that link.
Well, other aspects of the moon landing. Oh, here it is. Apollo moon landing hoax accusations flourish in part because many enthusiasts predicted that moon landings would become commonplace. And now I've jumped to a file type that my computer doesn't recognize, so I'm not going there. So if you want to research this, wikipedia.org, and just type in moon landing in the search window, and you can follow this controversy yourself. Very interesting stuff. It's really interesting. When you do a radio show and people find out about it, you get press releases, some that you find interesting and amusing and some that, well, are not. Let me share just a couple of these with you. Last week, we talked to Doug Heller from the Foundation for Taxpayer and Consumer Rights, and they were doing a Dash for Cash to try to highlight for people that this time of year in Sacramento, the legislators go bonkers. It's an election year, and it's also the time for final tweaking of bills before they get sent out of the legislature to the governor's office for signature. And legislators take advantage of that nexus to throw a lot of fundraisers toward the end of August. And here's one that the Foundation for Taxpayer and Consumer Rights found out about. It was a Krispy Kreme fundraiser for Assemblyman Rick Keene. And it's tomorrow morning. It's happening at 7:30 to 8:30 tomorrow morning at the Broiler at 1201 K Street in Sacramento. And to get into this Krispy Kreme breakfast fundraiser, you have to donate $1,500 to Assemblyman Rick Keene. So the folks from the Foundation for Taxpayer and Consumer Rights have decided to sell Krispy Kreme donuts for 89 cents outside of the fundraiser. And that is a cue to Prop 89, which is the clean money initiative that has qualified for the November ballot. So I think that's a very clever way to draw attention. And it'll be interesting to see if anybody says, oh, I don't need to pay $1,500 for a Krispy Kreme. I can get it for 89 cents. Now, on the other side of the coin, I am on the email list for the Schwarzenegger reelection campaign. Today they emailed me with a lovely web page here. News of note, Schwarzenegger. I can watch the video of his convention speech. Here's a volunteer who is supporting Arnold and gives a video testimonial. It's a female, unidentified. He just has an incredible magnetic personality about him. He draws people to him, and working in politics, just outstanding to see all these new people entering our realm of volunteers that would never ordinarily be here. That's inspiring. California farmers and ranchers unite in support of Schwarzenegger. This is propaganda, by the way. And you can read it for yourself at joinarnold.com if you have some perverse interest in that. Now, an email from Christina Chavez Wyatt at Armanasco Public Relations. And she sends notice for our listeners on the Central Coast that the new Marina Walmart has hired a manager, the store will open a hire center, and they're promising 275 local substandard jobs. I added the substandard part. Walmart has hired store management for its new Marina location and will soon open a hiring office, anticipating the store opening in time for the holiday shopping season. Isn't that exciting? Let's see. Mark Blohm, B-L-O-M-E, is the new store manager, and John Martinez, a Central Coast native, will be the first assistant manager there. So Walmart thinks that a progressive station program like ours wants to help them hire schlubs. And, well, I think they directed this email to the wrong guy. And what else do we have here? Well, I told you about Team Arnold. That's pretty much it. So I want to thank you for listening today. I got to find Trigger here and get him loaded and ready to ride. We'll be back at you tomorrow with another edition of the Peter B. Collins Show, and I hope you'll join me then. Same time, same stations. And where is Trigger? Holy cow. Trigger, where'd you go? Happy trails. Here we go. We'll at least get a little of the music here. I'll see you tomorrow. Thanks.
Tired of that dreaded drive into town for fresh quality produce? The Produce Barn in Carmel Valley Village has the perfect solution to your problem. Owners Ed Drobnik and Don Bikey have over 50 years of combined experience in the produce business and are passing the substantial savings on to their customers. The Produce Barn offers a wide selection of conventional and certified organic seasonal fresh fruits and vegetables. We also carry a fine selection of specialty candies and snacks, exquisite gourmet gift items, and feature Freedom Meats savory sausages, bacon, and marinated fresh meats. Heck, we even throw in free recipes. So, whether you're a restaurant, lodge, home chef, or treasured village visitor, stop by the Produce Barn at 13750A Center Street in the Center Street Plaza, behind Wells Fargo and right next to the Chatterbox. We're open 7 days a week.
The Produce Barn in Carmel Valley Village, 659-5916. That's 659-5916. The Produce Barn.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. John Carr waived extradition during a court hearing in Los Angeles today. That was expected. But for the first time, the public heard the specific charges against him in the JonBenet Ramsey case.
You are charged with one count of first-degree murder after deliberation, one count of first-degree felony murder, one count of first-degree kidnapping, one count of second-degree kidnapping, one count of sexual assault on a child.
I'm Lee Frank in Boulder. The law allows 10 days to transport Carr from California to Colorado, but it's expected he'll be coming here as soon as possible. Details of the prisoner transport are being kept secret for security reasons. The sheriff says the entire process will be out of view of cameras, with Carr's first appearance in public in court expected within a couple days.
CBS News legal analyst Andrew Cohen says the case is still being developed.
The investigation's not complete. We understand that there may be DNA testing going on, but prosecutors have to be ready once he gets there to notify him of the charges and then be in a position to go forward with the case.
Investigators have not ruled out the possibility that more than one person was involved in the crime. Iran says it's ready for serious negotiations over its nuclear program, but in replying to proposals from the West today, the Tehran government did not agree to halt uranium enrichment, a key demand. CBS News correspondent Bill Plant has reaction at the White House.
Officials say privately that unless Iran changes its stance before the end of the month, France, Germany, and Britain have all agreed to join with the U.S. in pressing for economic sanctions against Iran.
But administration officials believe that Iran is simply playing for time by agreeing to negotiate and giving its trading partners, Russia and China, a good excuse to vote against sanctions at the U.N. Security Council.
Emergency vehicles converged on a field in eastern Ukraine after a Russian airliner crashed, killing all 170 people aboard. CBS News reporter Bill Gasparini in Moscow has details.
Aviation officials say the plane fell from its normal cruising altitude after it was probably hit by lightning. Severe thunderstorms were reported in the area at the time. The plane was packed with people on their way home from a Black Sea beach holiday, including dozens of children.
Most of the passengers were Russian, but some were Dutch. One witness says the plane fell like a leaf. A scene from Jerry Maguire starring Tom Cruise.
You could say I'm at the top of my game. But some